behavior of a perfect person. So he is sannyasi. And the 14th chapter describes about grihastha life. So this is like how Varnashram is described in the last of 7th canto. First verse. Shri Narada Uvacha Kalpastvevam Parivrajya Dehamatra Avaseshita Gramikaratra Vidhina Nirapekshas Charen Mahim.
Shri Narad Muni said, a person able to cultivate spiritual knowledge should renounce all material connections and merely keeping the body inhabitable. He should travel from one place to another, passing only one night in each village. In this way, without dependence in regards to the needs of the body, the sannyasi should travel all over the world.
So here Narad Muni describes the quality of a sannyasi, where a sannyasi is not so much interested in maintaining his body. He will just take care of the needs of the body as and when things are coming to him, right? He doesn't give so much importance to maintain the body nicely, just like applying oil, grooming the hair, eating 3 times in a day. So this kind of needs sannyasi ignores. And he travels from one village to another village. Bibhriyadyadyasau vasa Kaupinachadanam param Tyaktam nalingadandadir Anyat kinchid anapadi.
A person in the renounce order of life may try to avoid even a dress to cover himself. If he wears anything at all, it should be only a loincloth. And when there is no necessity, a sannyasi should not even accept a danda. A sannyasi should avoid carrying anything but a danda and kamandalu.
So the previous verse described how sannyasi was traveling after getting detached from all material connections. Right? No more connection with family life. No more parties, no more festivals or celebrations or anything like that, family social gatherings. And now second verse describes that he doesn't wear even dress. He need not wear dress also, just some lion cloth, kaupin and some gamcha kind of thing, a cloth that can wrap around his waist, that's all. And he can accept danda and kamandalu. These are the only possessions of a sannyasi, nothing else. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this kind of protocols. So whenever his dear associates are offering him more facilities than this basic things that a sannyasi needs, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would protest. He would not accept them. Third verse. Eka eva charet bhikshur Atma ramo anapashraya Sarvabhuta sahurt shanto Narayana Parayana.
The sannyasi completely satisfied in himself should live on alms and from door to door, not being dependent on any person or any place. He should always be a friendly well-wisher to all living beings and be a peaceful, unalloyed devotee of Narayana. In this way, he should move from one place to another.
So he is traveling. And he would beg from door to door. And he is not dependent on any person or any place. So in his travelings, whomever he meets, he would spend time with them in giving Krishna consciousness or whatever. But he is not attached to maintaining a long-term relationship with any person, right? Or any place also. And one thing is there. In the modern context, so sannyasi may not be able to follow this kind of standards, especially when Krishna consciousness is being practiced in an institution, in an institutional setup. So this kind of things may not be valid, right? So what the modern acharyas, this is written 5,000 years back. So after 4,500 years, Mahaprabhu comes and then he says some things. Then after some more time, Prabhupada comes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada and other acharyas come and then put forward few things. So the spirit of renunciation remains the same. So the idea of renunciation, the center or the goal of renunciation remains the same, Krishna consciousness. But the details are varied according to time, place and circumstances. Now just wearing a cowpin and lion cloth and roaming everywhere, begging from door to door, so it may not be very much appreciated. So those days are gone now. So what the modern acharyas are proposing is a more updated version than even the scriptural statements. So Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, that's why three things are emphasized. Not only Shastra. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So Shastric injunctions, if we directly are in connection with Shastric injunctions and then try to implement them on our own, without the guidance of a Sadhu or without the instruction from a Guru, then we will not be able to take full advantage of the Shastra. So Acharyas give more updated version, more relevant version of Shastra to the people in a particular time, like that. Sometimes we see that in many purports, Prabhupada would sometimes even negate the verse of Bhagavatam. Verse is saying something, Prabhupada would say something opposite also. But he is preserving the spirit, but he is presenting the whole thing in an acceptable way for the current audience. That we need to understand. Even Uddhava Gita also, Krishna says so many things to Uddhava. 23 chapters of heavily philosophical discussion happened in 11th canto. There also Krishna speaks so many things about Varnashram, deity worship and other things. But not all those things can be blindly applied by the modern context. So there are acharyas who gave acceptable versions by the modern audience. So those things are more relevant for us than what we see directly from the Shastra. Pashyet atman yado vishvam paresat asato vyaye atmanam cha param brahma sarvatra sadasanmaye.
Should always try to see the Supreme pervading everything and see everything, including this universe, resting on the Supreme.
So many times when this kind of statements come, there is no need to be confused. Sannyasi always tries to see Supreme pervading in everything, and everything including the universe resting on the Supreme. This is quite a clear statement. This shows the Krishna consciousness of the sannyasi. He is seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Mayavadis may interpret this verse as everything is Krishna. Right? Krishna is everything. Or God is everything. They don't have the conception of Krishna. Okay, they say that everyone is God except Krishna. So, here everything's connection with Krishna is identified by a devotee. So when a devotee's perspective of every person or every object in the material world is that, so he is a part and parcel of Krishna, or he or this object or she is an energy of Krishna. So the energy is supposed to be in connection with the energy, energetic. So this object should be utilized in Krishna's service. This person should be engaged in Krishna's service, right? So this is the consciousness of a devotee. So that is the point that is described whenever these verses are coming.
Supti prabodhaya sandhav atmano gatim atmadhruk pashyan bandham cha moksham cha maya matram navastuta.
During unconsciousness and consciousness and between the two, he should try to understand the self and be fully satisfied in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stage of life are only illusory and not actually factual. With such a higher understanding, he should see only the absolute truth pervading everything.
Supti, state of unconsciousness. Prabodhaya means state of consciousness. Jagrat, Supti, Jagrat, Svapna, Susupti and Turiya. These are the four stages of consciousness. Here two stages are mentioned. During consciousness and unconsciousness, or between the two. Right? So he should try to understand the self and be fully satisfied in the self. So satisfied in the self means satisfied in the self's connection with the Supreme Self. That way. So unconscious state is nothing but ignorance, Prabhupada says, darkness or material existence. And in the conscious state, one is awake. So therefore, one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand the unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions, for they fundamentally do not exist. For example, somebody is sleeping, he is in an unconscious state. So that is an illusion. Right? Somebody is waking up. He may be in a conscious state, but in the ultimate sense, that is also an illusion. Because in the wake-up state, he is not in his original constitutional position. He may be engaged in material consciousness. Right? Materially awakened consciousness. He is not sleeping. He is in an awakened state, but still his consciousness is absorbed in matter. So it's also an illusion. So unless one revives his dormant Krishna consciousness, then we can't accept him as somebody who is really conscious. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Nabhinande dhruvam mrityam adhruvam vasya jivitam kalam param pratiksheta bhutanam prabhavapyayam.
Since the material body is sure to be vanquished and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Mm. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears.
This is very nice verse. Earlier, the state of consciousness and unconsciousness are illusion. That is explained in the fifth verse. In the sixth verse, birth and death, both are illusion. That both are not worth praising. He says like that. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport. He says, in this material world, everyone is engaged in trying to solve the problem of birth and death. Some people stress death to the point, death and point to the illusory existence of everything material, whereas others stress life, trying to preserve it perpetually and enjoy it to the best of their ability. So who are these people? Who are the people who are stressing death and who are stressing birth or life? Karmis and Jnanis. So karmis stress more on life and then they want to enjoy life. Jnanis are other Mayavadis, you can say. They stress are Buddhas. Okay? They say more on death and say life is bogus. So ultimate point is death only. Everyone has to die only. So like that. So both of them are fools and rascals, proposes. It is advised that one observe the eternal time factor. So this birth or death or life, so these are all different phases in time. And that eternal time factor is just an energy of Krishna. So they focus on that. So instead of being caught up in this birth, death, life, so these temporary phases of time, go one step ahead and observe the time factor. And go one step ahead and see whose energy is this time? Supreme Lord. Who is not influenced by time? We are under the influence of time. If we surrender unto Him, who is the controller of time or creator of time, master of time, then we will transcend these effects of time. Like that. We need not be a part of this. Like that. So one should observe the eternal time factor, which is the cause of the material body's appearance and disappearance. And that one should observe the living entity's entanglement in the time factor. Anadi karma phale, padi bhavarnava jale, taribharina dekhi upai. So time is considered the impersonal representation of Krishna. Seventh verse. Nasat shastreshu sajjeta, nopajiveta jivikam, vadavadam styajet tarkan, paksham kamcha na samshrayet.
Literature that is useless, waste of time. In other words, literature without spiritual benefit should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments, nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction.
So the previous verses described the state of the lifestyle of a sannyasi and the state of consciousness of a sannyasi, his understanding, and the seventh verse is describing how he utilizes his time and the irrelevance of mundane literatures to a sannyasi. Sannyasi has absolutely no interest in any mundane literatures. He need not read newspapers and magazines and watch TV channels, TV 9, TV 10, TV 100, so he need not watch all that. And one should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood. And sannyasi, another hot job of modern sannyasi is to gain money by teaching, professional teaching, so mundane teaching, so that is not required. Nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments. This is another, in some elsewhere in Bhagavatam also it is stressed that, I think somewhere in 11th canto, those who preach Krishna consciousness or preachers in general, so they sometimes need to argue to make a point. Right? Somebody may oppose. You say Krishna is God. Why Krishna is God? I will say Ganesh is God, Supreme God. So somebody will come and argue with us. So we need to present shastric proper arguments in parampara to communicate the point to that person. But if the person is not very conducive in accepting the statement, so better not waste time with him. We should not be lost in arguments, right? We should be focused more on giving Krishna consciousness to others. Prabhupada says somewhere in some other purport. So no point arguing. When someone is not accepting so much, for example, when somebody goes for book distribution, so you meet so many people, say in the given time frame of 3 hours, you may meet some 30, 40 people and then show them books. Instead of spending 3-4 hours with one person only who is totally adamant and not accepting any book or any statement of yours, instead of spending so much time in him, better meet so many people, right? Show them books. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Prabhupada makes brilliant statements. Mahaprabhu did not preach in Bengal. Mahaprabhu went to South India and then he travelled everywhere and then embraced them and empowered them. And that person who is embraced by Mahaprabhu would become ecstatic with love of Godhead. He would always chant. He will go to his village and he will spread holy name there. He will embrace them. And that person will go to another village. That's how their whole South India is converting into devotees, Vaishnavas. Then in that purport, Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu never did this kind of thing in Bengal or other places. Because the environment there was not conducive for preaching. So Prabhupada says, so preacher need not be, need not try to spread Krishna consciousness in a place which is not very favorable. It's not wrong on the part of a preacher to go to some other place where circumstances are favorable. So no point getting lost in arguments and counter-arguments. Duty is to give Krishna consciousness. If someone is so adamant that he cannot accept, better not waste time on him and make him offend more. Go to some other person and then preach like that. So the world is full of ordinary literature. It creates unnecessary agitation in mind. So the purpose of ordinary literature, magazines or anything, is just to create unnecessary agitation in mind. Somebody was reading a magazine and Prabhupada said, came and saw the magazine and said, you should not read this magazine. This will convince you that this material world is beautiful. It's a place meant to live. So that is the purpose of this magazine. So you should not go to this magazine like that. And we have our popular verse, Nayadvachas Chitra, Padam Harer Yasho, Jagat Pavitram Pragrinita Karhichit, Tadvayasam Tirtham Ushanti Manasa, Nayatra Hamsa, Niramanchi Upasikshaya. So devotees who are like swans will not take pleasure in mundane literatures. which are like pilgrimage places for crows. So there is no need to take shelter of unnecessary literature or concern oneself with many so-called philosophers and thinkers which are useless for spiritual advancement. Next verse. Nasishyan anubo anubadhnita granthan naiva abhyaset bahun navyakhyan upayunjita nam narambhan arabhet kvachit.
Courses as a means of livelihood. He must never attempt to increase material opulences unnecessarily.
Another point is stressed here. No accepting of more disciples. So accepting a disciple by a sannyasi means accepting his karma, taking responsibility of that soul. Right? So Prabhupada also stresses, even Bhaktirasamir Sindhu also stresses, that one should not unnecessarily build so many temples or accept so many disciples. Right? One should act according to one's capacity. So if the whole spirit of accepting a disciple is just to increase one's prestige, then the whole point is defeated. So there is no point accepting a disciple like that. So the whole main element in accepting a disciple is to give him Krishna consciousness, to re-establish that disciple in his original state of Krishna consciousness. So that is the main purpose. So no point accepting more. And unnecessarily read many books or give discourses as a means of livelihood. Again, studying of Shastra is to revive our Krishna consciousness. Right? And giving discourses means to help others revive Krishna consciousness. So the study of Shastra and then giving discourses is only meant to enhance the Krishna consciousness of everyone. But if that purpose is not met, and if it's just as a means of livelihood someone is doing these two kinds of things, then that is also not appreciated. Sannyasi is not supposed to do that. So there are so many so-called gurus who attract disciples by promising to cure their diseases or increase their material opulence by manufacturing gold. Prabhupada gives an argument. If you are getting attracted to some Swami who can manufacture just little 1 gram or 2 grams of gold, you should be attracted to Lord Vishnu. He is creating unlimited universes, and in each of those universes there is unlimited quantities of gold. Gold mines he is creating. Then why can't you accept him as God? Why do you accept somebody who creates little bit 1 gram of gold as God? Right? That he has hidden somewhere in his kurta and then bringing it out. Right, not everyone is there. We have some videos also, some Swamis doing like that. Shivalinga, he just brings it out. And unnecessarily constructing many temples and monasteries, that is also to be avoided. Temples and these monasteries are meant for preaching Krishna consciousness. They are supposed to be hospitals who treat the patients who are affected by material disease. If that purpose is not being served, just building a big temple for the sannyasis to live opulently is also not very much appreciated. Right? So it's not, these temples are supposed to be for preaching Krishna consciousness, not to provide free hotels for persons who are useful for neither material nor spiritual progress. Prabhupada is quite heavy in many of these verses. Right? 9.
Dayater ashrama prayo dharma hetur mahatmanah shantasya samachittasya bibhriyat utavatyajet.
Full equipoised person who is factually advanced in spiritual consciousness does not need to accept the symbols of a sannyasi, such as the tridanda or kamada Kamandalu. According to necessity, he may sometimes accept those symbols and sometimes reject them.
So even this Tridanda and Kamandalu are not very much necessary. Prabhupada says, what is more important is the consciousness. Peaceful, equipoised person who is advanced in spiritual consciousness. That is given more emphasis. Sannyasi should give more emphasis to advancement in spiritual consciousness than the external symbols of danda and kamandalu and other things. So here Prabhupada says that there are four stages of renounced order of life: Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Prabhurajika, Acharya and Paramahamsa. So this verse is describing about Paramahamsas. Then the absolute truth is perceived in three stages: Bhagavan, Paramatma and impersonal Brahman. And Prabhupada says that the sannyasis, especially Vaishnava sannyasis, not Mayavada sannyasis, Vaishnava sannyasis, for them the first duty is preaching. Right? Wherever there is an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness, he will go there. His constant thought is, how do I spread Krishna consciousness? Where do I get an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness? That should be his job profile. And Prabhupada says one more thing. Here this ninth verse is rejecting the symbols of Tridanda and Kamandalu also. They are not mandatory for someone who is very much advanced in spiritual consciousness. Right? So Prabhupada says, even the dress of sannyasi is also not mandatory. We may do this in the dress of sannyasis or the regular dress of a gentleman, but our only concern is to spread Krishna consciousness. Last statement of this purport. So main concern is to spread Krishna consciousness. You, the sannyasi himself, have attained Krishna consciousness and he wants to give it to others. So that is the main duty. Which dress he does, in which dress he does, is a detail.
Avyaktalingo vyaktartho Manishyunmattabalavat Kavirmukavad Atmanam Sadrishtya Darshayendranam.
Although a saintly person may not expose himself to the vision of human society, by his behavior his purpose is disclosed. To human society he should present himself like a restless child, and although he is the greatest thoughtful orator, he should present himself like a dumb man.
Another point. He may be a scholar. He may be, what is this, grateful, thoughtful orator. Still, he should present himself like a dumb man. By his behavior, his purpose is disclosed. So actions speak louder than words. We have this kind of behavior adopted by Jada Bharat, then Rishabdev. Sometimes even great sannyasis also, because for avoiding the disturbance from materialistic people, they may adopt this kind of behaviors, right? And when the other people there are not in a position to understand his advanced consciousness, so there is no point communicating to them and they will remain like a dumb man. Just like Jada Bharat's example, Chakravartipad nicely explains. So there are these family members and the neighbors of Jada Bharat who were treating him like a dumb man and dull man and engaging him in some field work and then giving him the rice that is burnt at the bottom of the pot. Right? That's how they are mistreating Jada Bharat. But he was giving them his association and purifying them. Just by taking his darshan, they are purified. By interacting with him in whatever level, they are purified. Because they are not in a position to accept Krishna consciousness, he didn't speak to them. They are in mode of passion. And there are Kaliya, dacoits. Right? The dacoits who wanted to give Jada Bharat as Bali, Narabali, Narapashu. Right? They wanted to give him as sacrifice. So with them, to them, he gave his darshan and then purified them. By taking the darshan of a Vaishnava, all these dacoits got purified. So they are in mode of ignorance. And Jada Bharat met Raghugana, who was in mode of goodness. So here is a person who can receive me. Right? Whatever I speak, he can make some sense out of it. He can understand and utilize them. So he spoke. So he never spoke to the dacoits. He never protested. And he never spoke to his family members and other neighbors. But he spoke to Jada Bharat, Raghugana. So a sannyasi or a person advanced in spiritual consciousness or the perfect person, so he behaves in certain ways that are required, that are needed with whom needed when he is interacting with different kinds of people, different categories of people. So this is describing the behavior of a perfect person. So now from the 11th verse onwards, Narada Muni describes the behavior of a perfect person with an example through a conversation that happened between Prahlad Maharaj and Avadhuta.
Proji, here yes, it is saying that he should also present himself like a restless child. So, what does it mean?
Restless child. Yeah, restless child means like super hyperactive. Right? A restless child is like very active. So, dumb man is not active. So, an example is given. A sannyasi may be too much active or not at all in action. So, he is just keeping himself like a dumb man. So, this kind of examples are given. Different behaviors are there of a sannyasi. He adapts according to different modes. We just discussed the example of Jadabharat. Right? An example is given for his being too much active. That's how I understood. Prabhuji, again.
11th canto, it is explained why such avaduta is called as a restless child. Because you will see the small children, they don't think of the past, they don't think of the future. They live in the present always. They are always excited, enthusiastic, and they don't take anybody's offenses very seriously. And they don't hold perceptions about others also. They have something to be achieved. If that is done, they are happy. They don't remember some mistakes done by somebody before. So that type of innocence of a child is very clearly observable, and that's why people say that child and God are one in quality. There is a song like that, you know. The child is very innocent and simple, and that is one reason why child becomes object of love of everybody also. Similarly, the Yadu Maharaj found that Avadhut Brahmana in the 11th canto like that. He said, you are so innocent and simple like a child, and you are so jolly, although you have nothing with you. Because you are not worrying about what will happen tomorrow, you know. Nor are you lamenting about what happened before. You are living in the present, remembering God, you are jolly at every moment. So he called him a child.
So any other comments on the last 10 verses? We are entering another section. 10 verses we...
The one of those verses, 7th verse is a very important verse in the series. Because there he is telling very vital instructions for practitioners also. Mm-hmm. He is telling that one aspect is the literature part, mm-hmm. and the another part is that we should not become professional teachers for earning livelihood. For example, nowadays, you go to schools or companies, they ask the commercials. How much are the commercials for conducting your program? So sometimes even our devotees prescribe some charges for a seminar or for a value education in the schools. So that may be all right to cover up the materials or something. But if a devotee becomes too much in a plan-making mode of making a lot of money, if I go for one seminar, I get 5,000 rupees. In 1 month, you know, morning I'll do two, in evening I will do two, and I'll make so much money. You know, that kind of plan-making, if a devotee gets into it, then the substance is forgotten, and the non-fruitive mentality is given up, and one becomes almost like a business tycoon, you know. He's making money and saying, last month I earned 5 lakhs, and next month, that kind of mentality will come. So that's why he's telling that he should not become a professional teacher. And also, he's saying that you should not indulge in arguments and counter-arguments, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know, dry arguments, endless arguments, it makes our hearts very dry and hard-hearted. And also, one becomes disoriented in intelligence, he says. So, Prabhupada also did some arguments in the West while talking to scientists and scholars and all, and that's not wrong, provided Prabhupada used to laugh and make arguments. He was so confident that he could defeat them and bring them into his side. So if one is very deeply situated in the understanding of Shastra, one can use logical argument to bring somebody. But But if we are ourselves vulnerable and weak in our faith, and such arguments can weaken our faith, such arguments can make us hard-hearted, and we may also get atheistic symptoms by associating with such people. After they are gone also, still there, those negative vibrations will be there. So, rather what should one, like Prabhuji was giving the example of book distribution also. When we go for book distribution, somebody is making useless arguments, leave him and go to another one. Like that. So, this contains many important, and also Vishnu Chakrabarti says one point, one should not take either side of an argument, he says. Why? Because you become enemy of the other, if you take somebody's side. So whenever people argue, we know that there are pros and cons of either side. So don't take any one side, he says. Basically, these things he is telling because sannyasi is very concerned about not developing raga or dvesh. Raga and dvesh, attachment and aversion towards living entities, towards situations, towards his own life. So the raga dvesha actually leads to attachment and aversion, which are detrimental to spiritual progress. So in order to avoid that, he doesn't take anyone's side. He preaches the pure truth and he goes ahead. That's why later on he will mention in one shloka, even if living entities don't cooperate with him or align with him, he doesn't worry about it. Why? Because different living entities are of different mentalities, and he says that I leave them to align with their own super soul. And I only pray that someday they may align with super soul. And he doesn't go behind them to bring them to the right track also. Although he may preach pure wisdom to inspire them, but he doesn't chase after them. Yeah. Into arguments and unwanted just things. Yeah.
That comment about the child was understood. But here it was mentioning Unmat Balavat. That means a very restless child. So generally child is innocent, that is there. But a restless child is not liked by everyone. So
you know, should we be childish or childlike? Here what he's saying is childlike, not childish. Childishness is very naughty, and the children create so much trouble for everybody. This fellow doesn't create trouble for anybody. No, that is why, yeah, at least this example I read in that small book is there, Enlightenment by Natural Path, thin book. There he explains this understanding of why a sannyasi is called a child. There he says. Yeah.
अत्राप्युदाहरन्तीमाम् अतिहासं पुरातनम् प्रह्रादस्य च संवादम् मुनेर अजागरस्य च
As a historical example of this, learned sages recite the story of an ancient discussion between Prahlad Maharaj and a great saintly person who was feeding himself like a python.
So there was an Avadhuta. He is a saintly person. He was living the like a python. Living conditions were like that of a python. Ajagarvritti. It is called Ajagarvritti. Tamshayanam dharopaste kaveryam sahayasanuni sahyasanuni rajasvalistanu deshair निगूढ़ामलतेजसं ददर्शलोकान् विचरन् लोकतत्व विविच्छया वृतोमात्तयै कपित्यै कतिपये प्रह्रादो भगवत्प्रिय
प्रह्लाद महाराज द मोस्ट डियर सर्वेटर ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड वंस वेंट आउट touring the universe with some of his confidential associates just to study the nature of saintly persons. Thus he arrived at the banks of the Kaveri, where there was a mountain known as Sahya. There he found a great saintly person who was lying on the ground, covered with dirt and dust, but who was deeply spiritually advanced.
Karmana kriti bhirvacha lingairvarna ashramadibhi Navindanti jana yamvai sosav iti naveti cha.
Neither by that saintly person's activities, by his bodily features, by his words, or by the symptoms of his varnashram status, could people understand whether he was the same person they had known.
So Prahlad Maharaj, with so many associates, he went there and then he saw this person, Avadhuta, and then nobody could recognize him. Oh, did I see him somewhere? So they couldn't understand. So Prabhupada says, Vaishnavar Kriya Mudra Vijayatana Bhujai. So it's difficult to understand what a Vaishnava is. So, but a Vaishnava can understand who is a Vaishnava. So Prahlad Maharaj could understand that he is a spiritually advanced person. He is not like a mad, dumb person who is lying like this. Others couldn't make out so much, but Prahlad Maharaj recognized his glory. 15. Tamratva abhyarchaya vidhivat padayo sirasa sprishan vivitsur idam aprakshin mahabhagavato sura.
The advanced devotee Prahlad Maharaj duly worshipped and offered obeisances to the saintly person who had adopted a python's means of livelihood. After thus worshipping the saintly person and touching his own head to the saint's lotus feet, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to understand him, inquired very submissively as follows.
Prahlad Maharaj inquired. Bibharshikayam pivanam sodhyamo bhagavan yatha vittam chaivodhyama vatam bhogo vittavatam iha bhoginam khalu dehoyam piva bhavati nanyatha.
Seeing the saintly person to be quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body, exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer. I know that if one is very rich and has nothing to do, he becomes extremely fat by eating and sleeping and performing no work."
So bhogo vittavatam iva. So as if, just like a wealthy person who need not work so hard for his maintenance, he would just take food and then increase his size of his body, he becomes very fat. You are looking so fat like that. But I don't see you endeavor to earn your livelihood. Okay, you are like, it doesn't seem that you are working. You are an employee of some company or you are working under some master. It's not seen, but you look very stout and strong. So what is the reason? So here the fact about fat body is mentioned. So Prabhupada explains about dangers of having a fat body. So one should not have a fat body. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to get worried, right? Even his disciples become very fat, he would get worried. Oh, my disciples are getting fat and they may be becoming bhogis or sense enjoyers. So generally sense enjoyers or bhogis are fat. So we need not immaturely use this statement, use the worry. So we can control our own diet and then we should not become fat. But when we see other devotees fat, so we need not evaluate them according to this standard and unnecessarily offend them mentally. So by enjoying the senses, one becomes fat. Therefore, in spiritual advancement, becoming fat is not at all satisfactory. So becoming fat by enjoying senses is not recommended. So sometimes it could be the nature of somebody's body, he may be obese or whatever. So we can apply this for ourselves, but we need not judge others who may be appearing fat.
Nateshayanasya niruddhyamasya brahmannuharto yata eva bhoga abhogino yam tava vipradeha pivayatastad vadana kshamam yechet. Brahmana, full in knowledge of transcendence, you have nothing to do and therefore you are lying down.
It is also understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened.
So Prahlad Maharaj got a genuine question, and he also considered that, oh, this kind of questioning to a Navadut Brahman like this may be little, may be perceived as impudence. So please forgive if you feel that it is impudent, but if you don't feel that it is very impudent, so please explain like that. So Prabhupada says, generally those who are engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once. Either in the afternoon or in the evening. If one takes food only once, naturally he doesn't become fat. So because of being experienced in self-realization, a transcendentalist certainly becomes bright-faced. So like that. So here, this Brahmana, this Avadhuta, so he was looking very bright. So Prahlad Maharaj recognized that he is spiritually advanced, and then he approached him and asked, Kavih kalpo nipunadruk chitrapriya kathasama lokasya kurvatah karma
seshetad vikshita piva. Your Honor, appear learned, expert and intelligent in every way. You can speak very well, saying things that are pleasing to the heart. You see that people in general are engaged in futile activity, yet you are lying here inactive.
So, Prahlad Maharaj was just, the first time he is taking the darshan of this person. But he, just by the bodily features of this Avadhut, he studied him so well that he was speaking about all his abilities. Right, just by the physical appearance of a person, one can understand more. Right, just like, for example, a designer is there. Right, on the billboard you will find a big, billboard with so many elements. So an expert designer will see that. In one glance, he can understand it's made in CorelDRAW or Photoshop. Okay, these color combinations are this. Right, he picked up from this element from this website. So all this he knows because he worked on that kind of designing for long. A movie director, if he sees what kind of camera he used, what kind of techniques he used to shoot the movie, make the movie, what effects, Adobe Premiere, this and that, so he can figure out. An expert cook, by seeing one preparation, he can understand how much salt he put, what is extra, what is not. Ordinary eaters, they cannot figure out so much. But by eating some preparation, an expert who can give the recipe, right? So here, Prahlad Maharaj, being a Vaishnav, he understood the advancement of another devotee, like that. Shri Narada Uvacha, Sayittam Daitya Patinam, Paripristo Mahamuni, Smayamanastam Abhyaya Tadvag Amrita Yantrita.
Narad Muni continued, when the saintly person was thus questioned by Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the Daityas, he was captivated by this shower of nectarian words, and he replied to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj with a smiling face.
So when a Vaishnava speaks or inquires, it's like a shower of nectarian words. So he was captivated, and then he started replying. Sri Brahmana Uvacha, Vedetam Asura Shrestha, Bhavanan Arya Sammata, Iho Paramayor Drunam, Padanyadhyatma Chakshusha.
The saintly Brahmana said, O best of the Asuras, Prahlad Maharaj, who are recognized by advanced and civilized men, you are aware of the different stages of life. Because of your inherent transcendental eyes, with which you can see a man's character and thus know clearly the result of acceptance and rejection of the things as they are.
So
here this Vaishnava also, just by the one or two enquiries that Prahlad Maharaj put forward in front of him, he could understand the glory of Prahlad Maharaj. He could understand his abilities. You are aware of different stages of life because of your inherent transcendental eyes, with which you can see a man's character. So a man's character can be well studied by a devotee. A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can understand the minds of others because of his pure vision in devotional service. A devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can study another man's character without difficulty. We have another example in the 6th canto where Angiramuni comes, okay, to the palace of Chitraketu and then says, you know, I think you're not very well situated. You must be having some anxiety in your mind. So he could understand. Because he's very spiritually advanced, he could immediately read the mind of, you know, Chitraketu. Narada Muni, he's very spiritually advanced. He could immediately understand that there is something dissatisfaction going on in Vyasadeva's mind. So he could understand. So when a devotee is very advanced, then he will get the ability of studying others' minds and then proposing proper solutions to them also. Here, this Brahman, this Avadhut, is responding to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj. Yasyana, this next few verses are like very important, very philosophical, so many instructions, many points for personal application for us. So, Brahmana's reply. Yasya Narayano Devo Bhagavan Hridgata Sada Bhaktya Kevalaya Jnanam Dhunoti Dhvantam Arkavat.
Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart. Because of your being a pure devotee, he always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe.
So he is nicely appreciating Prahlad Maharaj. Yasya Narayano Devo Bhagavan Hridgatasata. So Bhagavan Narayana Deva, so he is always staying in the heart of a devotee. Bhaktya Kevalaya, because of his unalloyed, one-pointed, kevalaya bhakti, ajnanam dhunoti, ignorance is washed away. Just like arkavat, dhvantam arkavat, just like the darkness is chased away when sun appears, similarly, because of this kevalaya bhakti, the ajnanam is dhunoti, ajnanam was cleansed, ignorance was chased away. So like that. Now, Bhaktya Kevalya, Prabhupada elaborates on this. They indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Just like even the lotus feet of the Lord, when it stays in the, when a devotee receives that lotus feet in his heart, it is mentioned, Sanjintayat Bhagavata Charanarvindam, Vajranga Sadhada Sarorha Lanchanadyam, Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakachakravala, Jyotsnalibhir Ahata Mahadhrudayandhakara. So the when someone meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, the effulgence of the toenails of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will chase away the ignorance in his heart. Right? Vajrankusha dhvaja saroruha lanchanadya uttunga rakta velasan nakachakravala. In the next verse also it is said, the shamala shaila visrishta vajram dhyayetiram bhagavatas charanaravindam. The mountain of sin is destroyed. Just like a thunderbolt destroys a mountain, similarly the mountain of the sin of the meditator is destroyed by the meditation on, of the lotus feet of the Lord. So here, Prabhupada says, and when one is pleased with, when the Lord is pleased with a devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further and further in devotional service. So, advancement in devotional service can also come, can come from the inspiration given by the super soul in the heart, right? Somebody starts devotional service and his advancement is also supported or inspired by the super soul in the heart. But for non-devotees, Lord, the super soul in the heart, will just give him directions according to their desires. Here, a devotee or a sadhaka's desire is to advance in spiritual consciousness. Super soul is giving him guidance in that direction. But for a non-devotee, he wants material enjoyment. Super soul is giving him in that direction. So, super soul is not partial. He is reciprocating according to the desires of the soul. Like that. Yethamam prabhadyante. So, that point Prabhupada mentions. Then, 23rd verse. Tatapi bhumahe prashnams tavarajan yathashritam sambhashaniyo hi bhavan atmana shuddhamichyata.
My dear king, although you know everything, you have posed some questions which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification.
See, very nice points are made in this one single verse. So, tathāpi bhūmate prashnāms. So, 22nd verse, Avadhuta, he appreciated Prahlad Maharaj's glory. Yasya nārāyaṇo devo bhagavān hṛdgatasada. So Lord is continuously staying in your heart and you have the opulence of kevala bhakti. With that, which can destroy the ignorance. Right? Just like sun cleanses. So he appreciated his position. And then here he is saying, tathāpi, still. Although you are so elevated, still I would attempt to answer. Bhrumate prashnams, whatever questions you have asked, I will respond. Tavarajan yathashrutam. Important point is yathashrutam. Whatever I have heard from bona fide sources, that I will repeat. Whenever somebody gives an answer to a question, to a spiritual inquiry, so that should have some reference to what he has heard from bona fide sources. So, tavarajan yathashrutam. Sambhashaniyo hi bhavan. Atmana suddham icchata. So, why sambhashaniyo hi bhavan? Why I should be addressing you? You are sambhashaniya. Means, it's worth responding to. For a personality like you, when you inquire something, I must respond to it. So, sambhashaniya hi bhavan. You are a person whom one should respond to. Who is that person? Atmana shuddham icchati. A person who desires self-purification. Atmana shuddham icchati. If only I have desire to purify myself, I should respond to what you have asked. Like that. And how do I respond? Yathashrutam. The way I have heard. So, a saintly person does not wish to speak to anyone and everyone. Because he is always grave and silent, he need not speak to anyone and everyone. So generally a common man does not need to be advised. Unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him. Although sometimes because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. So in general, saintly person will not speak to others unnecessarily. Then he does not speak to people who are not interested in the subject matter that he wants to speak. And sometimes he would speak also to an audience who is not interested. That is because of his compassion, kindness, as Prabhupada says. So, and the answers that he gives were not concocted by him. They are yathashrutam. Prabhupada again acknowledges here. Meaning, I have heard from the authorities. So, in the parampara system, when a question, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. Like that. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. One must refer to the Shastras and give answers according to Vedic understanding. So why Prabhupada confidently writes Bhagavad Gita as it is? He is confident that I am repeating the words of Parampara. I am preserving the spirit of what Krishna says, Krishna wants. What Krishna wants to communicate to the audience of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada understood through the Parampara. So, he can confidently say Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, I have never given my own interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. When someone appreciated Prabhupada that your purports are resembling some Acharya's purports, Ramanujacharya's purports. So, Prabhupada says that is my credit. I repeated his words. Right? It's good that I am resembling him, like that. So one should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. Otherwise, one's word will proceed from mental concoction, like that. Many times, or sometimes, we may want to say something and we try to back it up with some statements from here and there. So we have a prepared flow, and then we try to take references that may suit our own thing, right? And sometimes even while quoting Shastra also, even by quoting from bona fide sources or some Shastri Prabhupada statements also, we need to understand that we should have a basic understanding of the context in which those statements are made. Someone is asked to give a class or a presentation, just by going folio and then typing few keywords and then getting references from anywhere and everywhere and making, with using little intelligence one can make a presentation. But that is not an ideal way. So preaching means sharing what you have studied and understood, at least to some extent. Like that, not copy-paste from folio or something like that. So quoting bona fide sources also should be done with basic amount of care, right? And understanding the context of a statement is very important. 24th, Trishnaya bhava vahinya yogyeh kamair apuryaya karmani karyamanoham nanayo nishu yojita.
Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life.
So he is speaking on directly. He began his answer on soul level. So why your body is fat, that is the question. And then he says, I am transmigrating. I am a soul transmigrating from one body to another body. So, because of insatiable material desires. So, important point here is, Prabhupada also catches that theme in the whole purport. Because of insatiable material desires, I have been carried away by waves of material loss and I am transmigrating. So, desire is the cause of transmigration. That is the theme of this verse and purport. Desires leads to perpetual transmigration. Trishnaya, bhavavahinya. What kind of words he is using? Trishnaya, because of desires, material desires. Prabhupada is very clear in translating word to word. Trishna can be translated as desire. Prabhupada says in this context it is referring to material desire. This is asat trishna, not sat trishna. This trishna is referring to material desires. Bhava vahinya, under the sway of material laws of nature. Yogyaih kamair apuryaya karmani karyamanoham nana yonishu yojitaha. So these desires are leading my transmigration. So Prabhupada quotes Chakvartipad and says that a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about by different types of wood and tree branches. The living entity floats in the ocean of material existence in a similar way. He is also dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. If you just put a grass in a flowing river, what would be his destiny? Who can say anything? What is going to happen? After 1 hour, where will this grass be? No one can say. After 10 hours, where will this grass be? After 10 minutes, where will this grass be? It's highly unpredictable. It all depends on how the waves are moving, in what direction they are moving. Is the water flowing or stagnant? So these are the conditions. Similarly, when a soul just drops from the eternal service of Krishna, it just drops into this material world. It's like a grass dropping into an ocean or a river, flowing river. Then its whereabouts are unknown for a long time. So Prabhupada gives that analogy here. This is called struggle for existence. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in human life. What is that chance? Engage in service of the Lord. So even if one does not have pure desires, or he cannot give up his material desires also, still he can engage in service of the Lord. Akama sarva kama moksha kama udarahi tivrena bhakti yogena yajayati purusham param. So, ideally, anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavartam. Without any desires, you should do anukula bhakti, favorable devotional service towards the Supreme Lord. That is uttama bhakti. But even if you have some desires, better still do bhakti. Those desires will be taken care of by Krishna. Akama sarva kamava. So that is about how material desires lead to perpetual transmigration of the soul. 25th verse, he speaks about human life. So Prabhupada gives a small preview of the next verse in the previous purport only, so that we can make a smooth transition from one verse to another verse. 25. Yadrichaya lokam imam prapitah karmabhir brahman svargapavargayor dvaram tirashyam punarasyacha.
In the course of evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings.
So this is the junction. So if you go to a bus stand, right there you can get buses to Bangalore, Bombay, whatever, Andhra, Bhuvaneshwar, whatever. Airport, if you go and go to different countries and places. Similarly, human birth means, human form means, from there, either you can go up by doing pious activities, you will go to heavenly planets. Impious activities, you will go to hellish planets or lower planets. So there are different destinations from this junction. So human birth is like that. Yadrichaya. Yadrichaya means carried by the waves of material nature. Yadrichaya means somehow or the other. Somehow, I managed to enter this human body. In the course of evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities, due to undesirable material sense gratification, I received human form of life. And from here, I have the opportunity to go to heaven or liberation or lower species or rebirth again in human species. So all living entities within this material world are undergoing the cycle of birth and death, according to the laws of nature. So the struggle of birth and death in different species may be called evolutionary process. So Darwin's theory is also having evolution. So evolution means Darwin's theory speaks about how animal becomes a man. But here Bhagavatam speaks how man can become animal also. Right? So that kind of evolution theory, Darwin's evolution theory cannot explain that part. It only speaks how man, animal can become man. So human life, which is obtained in the course of evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation, swarga pavarga, or for degradation, tirascham punarasyacha. So swarga pavarga yor dvaram, tirascham punarasyacha. Either going up or coming down, both can happen in human life. So that's why in the description of Jambudvipa also, this comes. So this Bharatvarsha, so this earthly planet, and human birth in Bharatvarsha is like especially meant for karma. You can go up or down once you become a human being in this world, earthly planet. Then another point here is Svarga Apavargayor, Apavarga. So there is Apavarga is liberation. There is Pavarga. Pavarga means there are five different elements in it. There is pa means parishram, hard labor. Fa means fena, foam, just like horse, emanates foam. Pa, fa, ba means byarthata, disappointment. Byarthata means disappointment. Pa, pa, ba, bha. Bha is fear, bhaya. Ma means mrityu, death. So these are the five aspects of one's material life, pavarga. So transcending these five qualities of material life, pavarga, is called apavarga, that is liberation. So human life can make you continue with this pavarga business or enter this apavarga also. The word tirascham refers to degraded life. So Prabhupada explains degraded life in this purport. If one works piously, he will be elevated to higher planetary systems and achieves liberation or go back to Godhead also. But otherwise, he will be degraded to a life as a dog, hog, and so on.
Now Prabhupada speaks about ISKCON in the next page. So ISKCON is benediction for human society. So the different, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association of modes. Karanam gada sangasya sadasadhyoni janmashu. This is there. So by association of different modes, you will transmigrate. But if you associate with Krishna consciousness movement and then do devotional service, then one can come out of that cycle. So, important point here is, although every living entity is undergoing this pavarga, right, he is transmigrating from one life to another life, still he thinks he is the doer. He is helpless, just like a blade of grass carried by the waves of river. A living entity in this material world is carried by the waves of material nature. Right? So still he thinks that I am the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvajah. Ahankara vimodhatma karta aham iti manyate. So every living entity is under the full control of stringent laws of material nature. But rascals think themselves independent. So the solution is, you are under the, understand first that you are under the control of material nature, and also understand that that material nature is under control of Krishna. To come out of the control of this material nature, you should surrender to the supreme controller, controller of material nature. That is, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Under whose superintendence this material nature is functioning? Krishna's superintendence. So better surrender unto him. Then, Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mamaya Dhrutya. Mameva ye prabadyante mayamitam tarantite. Tatrapidam pati namcha sukhayanyapa nuttayem karmani kurvatam drashtva nivrittosmi viparyayam.
Human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex, but by actual experience we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities.
Important point for learning. Tatrapi, tatrapi dam pati namcha. Dam means wife, pati means husband, dam pati means a couple who got united by marriage. Tatrapi dampati dampati namcha sukhaya, for the sake of pleasure, which is basically sex pleasure, anya apanuttaye, for avoiding misery, to avoid misery and to get sukha, karmani, they engage in fruitive activities, kurvatam, drishtva, by observing that, right, I have now ceased from acting materially, viparyayam, the opposite. So, he has observed that man and woman come together, dampati. So they come together and they endeavor to get pleasure and counteract misery, right? And that is, and engage in fruitive activities. And this whole process doesn't work. They are still miserable only, although they are trying to counteract. So seeing this whole thing, I have learned something, the lesson. I should not engage in material activities. So everyone may see this. Every family member or every human being may have seen some families. Hardly at least one person in a crore people or whatever, he may think that, oh, this family life is something, is like very torturing. So this kind of thought hardly crosses in the mind of any person. Right? So, and if some, it crosses the mind of some person, then he is understood to be crazy by all the other people, right? That's how the whole material world is functioning. The default thought of every human being is that I have to get married when I get 25. He keeps waiting. When will my family start proposing, or when should I propose to some girl? Or so these kind of plans will just creep in his mind. He cannot think something different, right? The details may be different, but the default thought process of every human being is that I should get married and I should do this, I should gain some house, I should get some bungalow, car. These are his plans. So this whole thing is happening, and even if someone understands and observes by practical experience also, even if he understands the difficulties in family life, still
he is unable to come out of it only because of uncontrolled senses. Here this person, Avadhuta, he said, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. He has controlled senses. Even if one has understanding that my efforts to or endeavors to achieve happiness are producing contrary results, they are producing misery only. So even if somebody has this understanding, still he cannot stop taking part in materialistic activities. This is only because of uncontrolled senses, like that. So this point is emphasized in one of the previous chapters also. It's only, Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers, everyone has the understanding that this material world is miserable. Still he is unable to give up the mentality of enjoyment because of uncontrolled senses. That's why our Parikshit Maharaj rejected this proposal of Karmakanda. When in the sixth canto beginning, Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami says, you do atonement. Then he says, as long as somebody has uncontrolled senses, he will continue to commit sin. So give me solution for uncontrolled senses, not for atonement, not for coming out of sinful reactions. Question may be like that. How can one be saved from this material sinful reactions? But in a deeper sense, the question is how to control senses. Controlling senses will happen by engaging those senses in Krishna's service. That is a simple solution that Prabhupada highlights here. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress and divorce. So marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life. Then these two points Prabhupada stresses here, that there is a plan, the Vedic plan is given for. So this eating and sex are two basic needs of every human being or every living entity here. So in these two, nobody needs a training, right? How to eat and how to have sex, nobody needs training. So these two are the basic needs. By default, everybody looks forward to eat and unite with opposite sex. So these two are the basic needs. So the Vedas or the Vedic civilization gives proposals or gives a system where one can meet these two basic needs of sex and eating in a regulated way. You offer food to Krishna and then eat the prasadam. So this is a regulated eating habit. Don't eat unrestrictedly flesh of any animal or any bird, or don't associate with woman, any woman. So you just have some restrictions. So sex means a legal wife once in a month. Eating means whatever is offered to Krishna. So these kind of regulations they have kept. So if someone deviates from this violation, these regulations, then he will be in difficulty. Nayam deho deha bhajam duloki kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye. So this is not supposed to be the condition of a soul. Right, the soul, the condition of a soul should be eternal service to Krishna, but he is just like hogs and dogs. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye, like hogs and dogs, he is just engaging himself in sense gratification and then suffering so much. So this is not supposed to be the condition of a human being or a soul. That's how Prabhupada explains. Now 27th verse. Sukham asyatmano rupam sarveho paritastanu manasamsparsha jan drishtva bhogan svapshyami samvishan.
The actual form of life for the living entities is one of the spiritual happiness, which is real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I have ceased from all material activities and am lying down here.
Important point here. So, 26th verse, he said, I have seen the distress of material life and became detached from it. Then here, 27th verse, he says, Sukham asyatmano rupam. What is the rupam? What is the original status of Atma? It is happiness, spiritual happiness. Now, he understood that material happiness is bogus. That is 26th verse. 27th verse, he understood that spiritual happiness is substantial. So we can very nicely learn from this. When somebody, say, enters renounced life, when somebody joins Brahmacharya Ashram, so the impetus for taking up renounced order of life should not be that I am disgusted with family life. So if the disgust is only your impetus to enter renounced order, that will not sustain for long. If the impetus is some positive spiritual happiness or spiritual experience that which you are looking forward or which you have experienced earlier, then the sustainability is more. So one should not only have the positive reasons, not only have the negative reasons, but he should also have positive reasons. Parandrishtane vartate. So that is very nicely explained by this Brahman here. So I understood that materialistic activities are nonsense. None of them can are happy. 26th verse he says. Here he says, actual form of life is, of living entities is one of spiritual happiness. This I understood. Others are imagination. So I have given up those things. Therefore, considering the subject matter, I have ceased from all materialistic activities and I am lying down here. So, Mayavadis. So, Mayavadis, they have only the negative impetus. They don't have any positive impetus. Okay? They don't have any substantial positive impetus. So, negative impetus is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. They say that this is all bogus. This is all Maya. This is all false. So, Brahma Satyam. I have to merge into Brahman. So, this is their philosophy. But devotee is not like that. So, this is not bogus. This is bogus in the sense that this is temporary. Okay, this is entangling. So, I will disconnect myself from this materialistic activities and engage myself in the highly nectarian spiritual activities where I can relish the spiritual pleasure. So, that is the mentality of Vaishnavas. When, who is that? Shankaracharya. So, Vaishnavas have this Parinamavada. Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Vaishnava's philosophy is Parinamavada. Shankaracharya proposes some Vivartavada. Vyasadeva says, Parinamavada means it's a theory of transformation. Whatever you see around, all this universe, this material world, is a transformation of the energy of Krishna. That is called Parinamavada. Parinama means transformation. So, this is all this detail, this glass, this table, this mat, this is all transformation of Krishna's energies. Then Shankaracharya comes in between and then he proposes. Vyasadeva is mistaken. Right? By staying in Bhadrikashram, he couldn't think properly. So he was mistaken. He says, Lord is transformed. Absolute truth is transformed. How can absolute truth be transformed? So his Parinamavada is bogus. So I propose Vivartavada. This is called theory of illusion. Means everything is Maya. There is no transformation only. Everything is Maya. Whatever we see is false. Absolute truth is intact. Okay, he cannot be transformed. I am also absolute truth. I will just merge in him. I will come out of this illusion and then emerge into him. So this kind of theory he proposed. This is called Vivartavada. So this is the distinction between Mayavadis and Vaishnavas. If one simply ceases from materialistic activity, one cannot remain inactive for very long. Therefore, one should engage himself in spiritual activities, which will solve the problems of suffering in this life. And spiritual activities are what? Whatever one performs under the instruction of Krishna is a spiritual activity. Prabhupada has very simple definitions. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So, you do something favorable for Krishna consciousness, that is a spiritual activity. Apparently, whole world may see that what you are doing is not acceptable. But if it is favorable for one's Krishna consciousness, that is a spiritual activity, like that. Example, fighting is generally considered evil. To this date also, many people have the understanding or impression that what Arjuna did was wrong.
Arjuna was having such a noble character that he did not want to kill Bhishma, Drona and all his family members. And Krishna, he is like a villain. He just made Arjuna kill all of them. He is the cause of this whole massacre that has happened. To this date, people argue like that. Okay, but Prabhupada simply says, Krishna told Arjuna to fight. What Arjuna did was a purely spiritual activity. Right? There is no confusion in that. Ignarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadaham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samacharah. Right? So whatever is done as an offering to Krishna is not a cause of entanglement for the conditions, for the soul. So it's a cause of liberation. So we'll take the next verse after some time, after some break. So before that, Prabhuji, would you like to add anything in the few verses that we discussed? Aja Avadhuta.
Hare Krishna. Actually, this was a very, very important for sadhakas also. As he says here, that by practical experience, he has seen men and women in this world and he has given up sex life, taking part in it, because they are not happy. Now, many times we hear this in the lectures, the sex life cannot make happy, and you know, Krishna is very wonderful, and taking shelter of Krishna. Honestly, if you ask, many times devotees mostly understand it only theoretically in the lectures. But although we may not be greatly realized souls like him, to some degree we should be convinced that there is some sweetness in Krishna and there is some misery in sex life. Now, why only we should think it is misery? Some people say, because I have higher taste in Krishna consciousness, I am joining the movement. But to some degree, we need to be convinced about the miseries associated with material enjoyment. So Prabhupada writes in one Bhagavatam purport, the living, the devotee, a person in the spiritual path should actually become tired of sense gratification in this material world. After millions of lifetimes of wandering, one should become tired of it and say that, oh Krishna, I just want to take your shelter. So some amount of getting fed up with sense gratification mixed with some amount of positive attachment and taste we have for spiritual life, a combination of these two is very powerful. That verse is there, Yadrachya Matkatado, Jata Shraddhasti Apaman, Nanirvindo Nati Sakto, Bhakti Yogosya Siddhita. That verse says that we have to be in an intermediate stage where we are not having only aversion for the material world, or we are not having over attachment to material world, but we are in a stage where we have got little fed up with the sufferings of the material world. And some attachment is there which we have to pick up and apply it on Krishna. Like we have attachment to mother, father, brother, relatives, friends. Take it and use it on Krishna. Then one can go up. So it is also important for the devotees to, through the Bhagavatam, on a very practical way understand how the sex life is miserable. Like a sponge dipped in water appears, it's oozing with water, but when you squeeze it, it's finished. So material enjoyment is like that. From young age to old age, you keep squeezing the body, there is no more, you know, no more pleasure in that. That when people get fed up. And also, brahmacharis generally think, when not brahmacharis, I mean students, there is a lot in sex pleasure. But actually, when one marries, it becomes a routine, one begets a few children, then they get fed up with that. So this personality, this Avadhut Brahmana, has learnt it by hearing and by seeing the people in this world. So we hear from Shastra, and then with that Shastra Chakshu, we see the world around. In fact, when we see the world around with the knowledge we have acquired, that's what comes as realization in one's personal life. Otherwise, if you adamantly are attached to imaginative ecstasy in the material enjoyment, we will never be able to rise above it. We will be again and again battered. Because in our teenage, we were in a dream world, foolish dream world. But if you hold on to the dreamy imaginative pleasures, shruti sukha. What is that verse? Kutra ashisa shruti sukha mrigatishna rupa. Those pleasures in the material world are only heard. Nobody has truly enjoyed them because there is no enjoyment. So, here we can see that both this Avadhut Brahman and the 11th canto Avadhut Brahman, both of them speak with realization. They both actually have seen the world around and they have consciously they have given up. With realization they have given up. But we are not in that stage. So we have not given up with realization, but we have given up by hearing the realization of great souls. So in the Bhagavatam it is said, you don't have to experience the sufferings of the world, but you can hear from advanced souls and have faith in them and give up the material enjoyment. By hearing them, that will save time, and that will save a lot of energy, and we can utilize that time and energy in the Lord's service, and then we will come to the same realization after many, many years of practice. Yeah. So he is talking about futility of economic development, futility of sex life, which are all very dear to the materialists. And we that is why we are all preachers in this movement. We are reaching out to the people. We have to tell things which are painful for people to hear. That economic development is useless, sex life is bogus. So it's not very easy to preach this to people unless we ourselves see the world around based on the shastras and develop a very deep understanding of how money making is useless. We should do man making, not money making. Similarly, man-woman relationship is useless. So each of us sitting here, we will have our own understanding of how sex life is useless. But the shastras give varieties of explanations. So we had made an article called Quest for Pleasure, the Quest for Pleasure, which talks about how the pleasure and pain, this duality in this world, keeps the living entity in a dreamy state. Mm-hmm. So amongst all the pleasures, the sex life is the topmost. This could be one type of exercise that the devotees could do it themselves on why I consider sex life to be useless, why it is used. Because if you have your own way of understanding and being convinced based on the shastra, and then we develop on it by hearing from various devotees, then we have our proper understanding. And that gives us a peaceful mind in executing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we are brahmacharis where we feel we are deprived of some enjoyment outside, and the moment we are given a chance, we will spring back there. It is useless because we cannot take a forward step. To take a forward step, this type of realization is necessary. Like once I saw a very small calf, frolicking. But within 1 or 2 years, it became a rough and tough looking big calf, The beauty was lost. Similarly, 1994, 1995, I joined the ashram. I used to see a family, a mother who used to come with her two daughters, who were very young teenage daughters. In another 10 years or so, they grew up and all those, the tenderness of the young age, it goes away. And people grow up. So we can see with our eyes in this world, the tender beauty in this world doesn't last for a long time. Similarly, this personality, great personality, is revealing from his realization. These things have to be taken to the heart. And we have to see it from in our own way also, so that we don't maintain our inclination for propensity for sense gratification. Yeah.
We'll have a short break.
outside environment. So that also thinking mind with the spirit, that also sometimes person, you know, there is a safe view, okay. But this is actually more safer place. When I stay here in association, I know that I'm still there. There also, there also. But where I'm really listening and like really interacting with the devotees with my same nature, but still I'm trying to, you know, control myself and more there because the environment is such.
విస్మృత్య వై పుమాన్ విచిత్రాం అసతి ద్వైతే ఘోరాం ఆప్నోతి సంస్మృతిం.
In this way, the conditioned soul living within the body forgets his self-interest because he identifies himself with the body. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus, the living entity suffers the miseries of material existence.
So, something similar to Nate Vidu Svarthagatam Hi Vishnum Durasaya Ebhirarthamanina. So, conditioned soul will forget what his real self-interest is, which is Krishna. So because the body is material, he has natural tendency to get attracted by varieties in the material world. Therefore, he suffers so many miseries. So Prabhupada speaks about the default or natural state of a soul and compares it with the conditioned state. So that is the theme of the purport. So, just like Krishna is Sachidananda, Anandamaya Abhyasa, Krishna is always happy. So, the living entities who are parts and parcels of Krishna, they are also happy. But in the conditioned state, they cannot experience that happiness because they are conditioned. Because everyone is a part of Krishna, we have very affectionate relationship with him. So, this is the natural state of any soul. But when he is afflicted by material conditions, he has to undergo the troubles of birth, death, old age, disease, etc. Then 29th verse. Jalam tad ubhavaischannam hitvagno jalakam yaya mrgatrishnam upadhavet tathanyatratha driksvasa.
Just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, but runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world.
An example is given. 28th verse, Avadhut Brahman says that conditioned soul does not know his self-interest. He is just searching for happiness in this material world. Just like a deer, he out of ignorance, it cannot see the water under a covered well.
It just searches for water everywhere. This is an example for the previous statement made. Right? So, Bhagavatam several times explains certain philosophical concepts, certain facts with the examples of examples in the material nature, with some animals, with some patterns in the material nature, seasons, like that. This is an effective way of communicating a point. Right? Outside people, you can if you directly speak about soul, conditioned soul, Natevidu Svarthakatim Hivishnam, they may get bewildered. But everyone knows what is a deer, monkey, moth, then we have this dog, pigeon. These are the cat, lion, tortoise. So they are different animals based on which so many lessons are given. Even Krishna uses this. Like a tortoise, you have to withdraw your senses under your shell. So with these examples, things can be communicated nicely. Camel sucks its own blood and then she thinks that I am enjoying. It chews some thorns and then drinks its own blood and these thorns are very tasty. So the same thing. With this example, you can communicate a point to the materialists that, okay, you are unable to sleep because of having so much money. Right? It's like eating thorns and then experiencing the taste of your blood and thinking that you are enjoying the thorns. Right? So, yeah, that example also will come in future about sleep loss. Here, soul is compared to the water. Matter is compared to the grass. Matter comes from life. So, in this purport, Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. Just like a water is covered by grass, similarly, soul is covered by matter. Now, without this soul, matter cannot exist. This body cannot exist like this when the spirit soul just goes out. So, Prabhupada is making a point that this soul is the from this soul is coming matter. As long as the soul is living within the body, body grows, body changes. But when the soul goes out, body will not change or grow. So means soul, from soul, from spirit comes matter, not from matter comes from matter. So that is the point Prabhupada says. Fact is, matter from matter, life doesn't come. From spirit only, life comes. Then when one understands his real identity as a spiritual being, he can understand the supreme spiritual being, Krishna, and the real happiness exchanged between Krishna and one's self. So understanding one's relationship with Krishna, sambandha gnan, is very crucial. Dehadibhir daiva tantrair atmana sukhamihita dukkhatyayam chanishasya kriyamogha kritah kritah.
The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the cause of distress, but because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans and different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled.
So living entity, because Anandamayobhyasat, it's as a part and parcel of Krishna. Just because Krishna is always happy, living entity is also having a tendency to be happy, to seek pleasure. But in this material world, he is also trying for happiness. But the problem is the method he has chosen, the process to attain that happiness that he has chosen is wrong. So that is the point mentioned here. He is trying to achieve happiness and rid himself of the cause of distress. But because the various bodies of living being are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies are baffled. So he is unable to get happiness through this matter in this material world. He is just caught up in the cycle of transmigration. Just like a bird sees a reflection. So in our ashram only, we used to have that table which we are using for studying. So the legs of the table are made with some stainless steel kind of thing, and it was looking like a mirror. So every day one small bird, a sparrow, used to come and then just poke its nose on the stainless steel glass frame of the table. So it was seeing its own reflection there and thinking that it is some other object or some other sparrow or something, just tuck, 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 or I will get something out of it. So when I was in Sevasthan has some transparent glass windows, right? Sometimes many times some bees or some insects will come into the Sevasthan and they want to go outside. They don't go where there is opening in the window. They will just try to just beat the transparent glass, thak, 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 and they hurt themselves only. Then I open their window this side and then it sees an opening and then just flies away. It was trying so hard to go out, but just by seeing light, it wanted to merge into that light, not knowing how to go out. No, not much intelligence. So similarly, the material, we are doing the same thing in a bigger way. A materialistic person does the same thing, tries to enjoy happiness, or tries to come out of misery in certain ways, and he is also equally ignorant, like a bird. Bird at its level, he is ignorant. Just like a middle class person who may earn some 4,000 or 5,000 in a month, he has certain financial problems, or whatever, a big employee in a big company who may be earning 60,000 or 70,000 or 1 lakh in a month, he also has certain financial problems of his level. For him, the financial problems of a lower person who is earning 4,000 or 5,000 may seem insignificant. Okay, so same thing. So everybody is undergoing certain struggles. Everybody is struggling for existence in his search for happiness and in his attempts to come out of misery. So things are not happening because they are choosing a wrong method to solve the problems. The right method is Krishna consciousness. Etadhi atura chittana matra sparshe chaya muhu. So the reason for atura, anxieties of this conditioned souls, is they are trying to bring their senses in contact with sense objects. How to come out of misery and how to enjoy? Just by having sense pleasure. Bring my senses in contact with sense objects, I'll be happy. But they are not being happy. That is causing more anxiety. Right? The only solution is bhavasindhu plavo drishto haricharyana varnanam, taking shelter of Krishna Katha. Here Prabhupada says, he mistakenly plans to enjoy bodily comfort in human life. Though through so-called economic development, through pious activities, elevation to higher planets, and in many other ways, but factually, he becomes a victim of the reactions of his fruitive activities. So by his attempts to come out of these miseries, he is just entangling himself more and more. Whether he does pious activity or impious activity, it's a source of entanglement only. And he's engaging in all those activities to come out of these miseries. But instead of coming out of miseries, he's entangling himself more and more and increasing the number of births. So that is explained here nicely. Then Prabhupada speaks about super soul. So Supreme Lord comes as super soul within the course of heart of everyone. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, then Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaye sejana tishtati, brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantrarudhani maya. Super soul is staying in the heart of everyone. The desires and activities of living being are observed by the super soul, who is upadrishta, overseer. Upadrishta, anumanta, bharta, bhokta, prabhurevacha, something like that. So whenever we hear these descriptions of super soul is observing all our activities, sanctioning our desires. So we need to have two prominent emotions, okay, in my understanding. So super soul creates hope. When the whole world misunderstands us, super soul will not misunderstand us. He has a clear understanding of our intentions and motives and our activities. Second, first is hope, second should be fear. So when we can cheat the whole world, we can impress the whole world that we are good, we are great, okay, we are great devotees, Vaishnavas, whatever. We can cheat the whole world, but we can never cheat the super soul. We may do so many forbidden activities, right? We may steal, or we may do some goof up, or we may secretly chastise someone. So we may do so many other activities. Not many may become aware of it, but super soul will become aware of it. So because super soul is seeing my activities constantly, observing me constantly, each and every movement of mine, although I forget, he will not forget. So we should be very alert and have a proper fear that I will be, my activities are being recorded by super soul. And second way is, others may not understand us nicely. Okay, others may misunderstand us, others may mistreat us, our good motives are not understood by others, but super soul will understand. So super soul is a person who will reward you accordingly. Ethamam prapadyante. Who will punish you accordingly, according to the activities that we have done. So proper treatment will come only from the super soul. All others may improperly treat us, or disproportionately treat us, or inappropriately treat us. But the most appropriate treatment a soul gets is from the super soul, right, who is constantly observing the activities. And one dedicates his life and soul for hearing the activities of Krishna, so Krishna, in his capacity as Bhagavan, will enter our hearts. Okay, and he will replace the super soul. So Krishna will no more act in his capacity as super soul, just like witnessing or recording our activities or giving commentary. He will do something more than commentary. For example, I just climb on this cliff, climb on this, and then I am falling down. So super soul will give commentary. He will give, he will record. Okay, he went up and then he is coming down or he is falling off. But Bhagavan will just give his hand and then lift me up. Right? Super soul will not do that. His thing is recording activities. Right? So when Bhagavan Vishade Hrithihi, when we hear that, super soul is already there, why this kind of verse is coming? We should understand that Krishna in his capacity as supreme personality of Godhead is entering the heart of a person who is hearing so nicely. Otherwise, so far he is there in the heart of that person as super soul who is witnessing our activities. Now, Prabhupada makes another point. The living being is not at all free to act, but is fully under the control of material nature. Why? Because the reason why living entity is fully under the control of material nature, he is not obliged to do so. Right? Material nature, is not supposed to control living entity. Not supposed to mean, since living entity is not obliged to be under the control of material nature. But why is he doing so? Simple answer Prabhupada gives in the purport. As soon as a living entity is victimized by material desires to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature. Our own material desires are keeping us under the control of material nature. Simple reason. If we give up our material desires and accept to serve Krishna, then material nature has no more control on that, on us. And all the controllers of material nature will no more control us. Yamaraj says, I will be fearful. Yamadutas, don't go towards a devotee. He says that. Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gata. Next verse also. Tanana vadhyam. So all the controllers of material nature or the material nature will not control a devotee if he gives up his material desires and takes to devotional service, like that. So material nature is not to be blamed. Krishna is not to be blamed. Right? Or all the representatives of Krishna or the demigods, they are not to be blamed. Okay? Karmana Devanetrena, they are just giving us different bodies. They are not to be blamed. No one is to be blamed except our own mentality to lord over this material nature. Simple. And Krishna gives a simple formula to come out of this control. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Vyasaki Prabhu said once. Mam ekam sharanam vraja means keep me eka, one. Keep me number one. Keep your family, job, everything else number two, number three, number four, number five. Keep me as number one. First priority, Krishna. Baki sab baad mein. So then, that is sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Unfortunately,
The living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from Bhagavad Gita, and thus he becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. So very elaborately discussed purport about living entities entanglement in material nature. Then papa punya, when living entity does sinful activities and pious activities, there are reactions. But if he does the same activities for Krishna, ignarthat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana, if he does those same activities for Krishna, then there is no papa concept and punya concept. There is only bhakti concept there. So that also Prabhupada nicely explains. One can come out of samsara chakra by working only for Krishna. Adhyatmikadi bhir dukhair avimuktasya karhichit मर्त्यस्य कृच्छ्रयो कृच्छ्रोपपन्तैर् पनतैर् अर्थैः कामैः क्रियेत किम्.
Materialistic activities are always mixed with three kinds of miserable conditions: adhyatmika, adhidaivika, and adhivautika. Therefore, even if one achieves some success by performing such activities, what is the benefit of this success? One is still subjected to birth, death, old age, disease, and the reactions of his fruitive activities.
My God. Prabhupada nicely gives in the purport, and one lecture also Prabhupada says, even if you get success in this material world, what is the use of that success? What is the use of that success of material activity? Unless you totally it to Krishna service. Even the so-called success is also a failure. Prabhupada says you become a multi-millionaire, or you become a big double PhD, postdoc also you do, okay? And then you do all nonsense and then take birth again as a dog or cat. Your PhD will save you or what? So Prabhupada questions like that. Even if you become a human being also in the next life, you have to learn from ABCD. Right? Again, LKG, UKG, first standard, second standard, then 10th standard, like that. So directly, in my previous life, I have done my postdoc. Okay, now in the beginning only, at 5 years only, you consider me as a postdoc. Call me Dr. So-and-so, X. And then I should be taking a call on who should be operated in what way. So that doesn't work, material nature. So however much heights you may have reached in this material world, in the eyes of these materialistic people, so they are a useless endeavor. It's not a very substantial result in the eyes of Shastra devotees. So all the heights that one achieves in this material world, if they are not engaged in Krishna's service, they are not of much substance. So they will, the soul will eventually lose them. So somebody will finally gain a doctorate or do a PhD at the age of 35 or 40. And at the age of 50, if he dies, he cannot get that PhD back right in the next life. No one knows whether he will become a human being in the next life. Like that. Probably next time you will be, in the next life, you will become a cat or dog. What is the use of your PhD? What is the use of your so much wealth, multimillionaire, being the CEO of a company? Then purport, Prabhupada says, no one can escape the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhyatmika, adibir, dukkhair. No one can escape them. Prabhupada gives his own example, his personal example. I have seen a dying man begging a medical attendant to increase his life by 4 years so that he can complete his material plans. Even in Leelamrita also, in the initial articles that Prabhupada writes in BTC, so he describes this kind of incidents. So a sane and sensible man never desires to work hard under the conditions of threefold miseries, only to die in disappointment. Only to die in disappointment. Like that. But on the other hand, when someone carries Krishna conscious impressions in this life, they will give him another opportunity in his next life to continue Krishna consciousness. Like that. Even if we, for argument's sake, even if we understand that a materially well-situated person in terms of education or wealth even if he carries forward his, you know, material wealth or education to the next life, still it is entangling only. Right? It's not delivering him. He has to continue in this material world with that material knowledge. It becomes a heavy burden on him. Pashyami dhaninam klesham. Lubdhanam ajitatmanam. Bhayad alabdha nidranam. Sarvato bhivishankinam.
The Brahmana continued, I am actually seeing how a rich man who is a victim of his senses is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffer from insomnia due to fear from all sides despite his wealth and opulence.
Another graphic example. Rich man, okay, he just gets unlimited wealth. He is very greedy to accumulate wealth, but he suffers from insomnia. Once you accumulate so much, you will have to have the anxiety. Who will just steal them away? Who will just take them away? Right? Some by legal means, some by illegal means, some by emotional blackmailing or whatever. They will just take away everything. So, it is said that if you give a toy to a small boy, you are not helping him so much. You are just making other boys envy him. Right? If he is getting a very special and exceptional toy, other boys will envy him. Similarly, a wealthy person will attract the envy of all the other family members and society and friends. Right? That happens. That is why when Sanatana Goswami was assisted by Ishana, he was accumulating some coins. He got some coins and then he carried them. The hotel fellow, he wanted to kill him. Just for these 8 gold coins, he wanted to kill these people. Sanatana Goswami said, why are you carrying death in your pocket? Give it up. Still he retained one coin. Then finally he said, you need not travel with me, just get lost. You just go back. So he politely told that. So wealth, unless it is used in Krishna consciousness, it is only a cause of one's non-peaceful circumstances. Right? It will just kill the peace in the mind of the wealthy person. It will cause insomnia. He cannot sleep only. What is the use of so much bank balance if you cannot sleep only? He just goes, if you can't just sleep for 2-3 nights, one will go crazy. One night also, depending on the capacity of a person. Right? Physical capacity. You can't just function properly. Intelligence doesn't work. Sleep is one important element of intelligence. There are 5 features of intelligence. Out of them, one is sleep. If you can't sleep, how will your intelligence function? Right? On top of it, you are in anxiety also here. That is a fallacy of rich men. And why this fellow is anxious? They collect money by questionable means. And the minds are even more agitated. Even if you gain wealth by legal means also, there is some anxiety. On top of it, if you gain wealth by questionable means, anxiety is doubled. And they take sleeping tablets. Right, to sleep. And sometimes if the anxiety goes beyond certain limit, sleeping pills also don't work. They go even more crazy. So what is the value of acquiring a comfortable position if one's mind is always disturbed? Samsara bhishanale dinanishi hayajwale. Now Prabhupada says, as far as Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally. It's not legally or illegally, naturally. If you are engaged in Krishna service, Krishna will send you money. That is the natural way of attracting Lakshmi. And the natural way of engaging Lakshmi is in Krishna service. Like that. Lakshmi should always be kept with Narayana. If you are serving Narayana, Lakshmi will automatically come with you. This fellow will keep me with Narayana. The other fellow will take me away from Narayana. I will not go to him. Right? Even if apparently Lakshmi goes to another materialistic person, she will only be cause of anxiety for that person. But for a devotee, it's a cause of bliss. Right? With that money, devotee can do so much service. He can build a big temple for Krishna and then happily dance in that temple. Right? He can make so many arrangements for Krishna's service and happily do his devotional service. Like that.
So here Prabhupada is speaking about ISKCON situation. We just started ISKCON movement with 40 rupees, and then now I have 40 crores, right? Tell me which materialistic man can earn like this. So because of Krishna's grace, we are getting so much. Then this all indicate Prabhupada's faith. Right? This literature, Prabhupada speaks about book distribution. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification, but to spread Krishna consciousness movement. We need many things. We need so many things. And Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission. So Prabhupada is acknowledging Krishna for sending money. Some pure left brain thinker may accuse Prabhupada that he is sentimental. So he got this money because so many donors gave, or by his own efforts, or by the efforts of his disciple, or by the charisma of his disciples. People may give so many purports and then take Krishna out of the picture. And when Prabhupada makes this statement, people may question and say that he is a sentimental person. But these very bold statements indicate Prabhupada's unlimited faith on Krishna. That is, pure devotee's unlimited faith. And if we are not having that faith, we need to understand we are not pure devotees. Therefore, according to the advice of Rupa Goswami, we should not give up attachment to money. See what statement Prabhupada is making. We should not give up attachment to money. Okay, that can spread Krishna consciousness movement. Right? Right utility of money is to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Once Prabhupada was counting so much money, somebody asked, Prabhupada, you are counting money? There is one Swami who just becomes so agitated even if he touches 1 rupee coin. Prabhupada, he is a fool. Just whatever money he has, ask him to give me. You take a photograph of mine, okay, with a mountain of money, I will be counting there. So Prabhupada is confident that he is utilizing all this money for Krishna's service. And Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prapanjikataya Buddha Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha Mumukshubih Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Kathyate. This Vairagyam Falgu. Somebody may become so proud that I have renounced everything. I will not touch even one small particle of gold, not even 1 rupee coin. Okay, I have left my palace. I have just entered the forest. I am totally renounced. One may become proud of it. But Prabhupada gives an argument in some other purport, third kind of purport. Palace does not belong to you. It is from Krishna. Forest does not belong to you. It is also from Krishna. Where is the question of your renunciation? Just by changing your position from palace to forest, you cannot call yourself as a renunciant. Because you don't possess anything. If you possess something and if you give it up, you may be called renunciant. You possess nothing, and then you call yourself renunciant by just changing your geographical location. So Prabhupada says, the only possession that you have is your false ego. Give that up. Real renunciation is giving up false ego, not giving up material possessions. Then money that can help in spreading Krishna consciousness movement is not a part of this material world, and we should not give it up, thinking that it is material. Anasakta Sevashan. Yatharham upayanjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. So this is falgu vairagya and yukta vairagya. Falgu vairagya is just becoming proud of giving up material possessions. Yukta vairagya means accumulate possessions and engage them in Krishna service. And we need to apply both of them maturely. I'll accumulate so many gadgets, this and that, and then engage in Krishna service. That may be entangling also. So one should have sufficient maturity and guidance from matured authorities, okay, in implementing this Yukta Vairagya principle. Prabhupada very nicely gives warnings to preachers. As soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. So the preachers should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed for spreading this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause us eternal happiness. Lakshmi should always remain with Narayana. Rajatas chaturas satro svajanat pasupakshita
अर्थिभ्यः कालतः स्वस्मान् नित्यं प्राणाथवद्भयम्.
Those who are considered materially powerful and rich are always full of anxieties because of governmental laws, thieves and rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor and even their own selves. Thus they are invariably afraid.
Mm. So what are all different causes of fear? They are invariably afraid. Right, inevitably afraid. So they have to maintain security guards, all these rich men and then great politicians. Where is the security? If you have so much money, that is only causing for your anxiety. You have to protect your life at every moment. So what is the use of that kind of wealth? Give it up and then stay in some hut and then be peaceful. Nicely sleep. Like that. So now the whole point is, why this kind of fearful situation arises? It's only because of attachment. So somebody is attached to his position. Somebody is attached to his wealth. That kind of attachment is causing him fear. It's not just about being wealth. A wealthy man can also be peaceful if he is not attached to that wealth. Right? A popular man can also be peaceful if he is not attached to his prestige and popularity and fame. Right? It's all about attachment to something wrong. Right? Not being in a position or just having something. We have so many devotees who are very wealthy and then peacefully practicing Krishna consciousness. Like that. We have so many examples of ideal grihasthas mentioned in the scriptures also. So, rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. Prabhupada says, there are many rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. Apparently, he is like a very well-wishing friend. But his only intention is to take out money from your pocket. And in the sixth canto also we have studied, sometimes enemy will take birth as your son and cause you trouble, okay, and waste your money. For example, somebody borrows, say, 10 lakhs or 20 lakhs or 1 crore from somebody and then he dies or he doesn't repay the debt. Next life, the person who lended the money, he may become a son and then loot all your wealth, father's wealth. All this can happen. Therefore, there is no need to accumulate wealth or unnecessarily endeavor for more and more money. One should understand the position of living entity in this material world and understand how to return home, back to Godhead. If someone is so narrow-minded that he only thinks about the small time frame of today or whatever, this 1 year or this one lifetime only, he just can't think big. He just can't go beyond the limits of birth and death. His understanding is, I came into existence just 20, 30 years back at my birth. Right? And he doesn't want to think about his so-called non-existence or death. Right? I have a beginning, I will have no end. I will continue to accumulate money and enjoy life. Like that. 34. Sokamoha bhaya krodha raga klaibhya samadaya yanmulasyur nunam jahyat spruham pranarthayor buddha.
Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all of this is a desire for unnecessary prestige and money.
So he began, in wherever, 23rd verse, 24th verse. Trishnaya bhavavahinya. So, from 24th verse till 34th verse, so this Avadhut Brahman is saying why he is not interested in material enjoyment. Right? Why he is just living like that. Apparently unattended. So, he began by saying, because of insatiable material desires, I am transmigrating from one body to another body. Again, he is concluding with the same thing. It's all about desire, material desire, for unnecessary prestige and money. That is causing all this lamentation, fear, anger, attachment, etc. So, Vedic civilization, Prabhupada brings out a difference between the Vedic civilization and modern civilization.
In the Vedic civilization, accumulating money was not condemned. Means working for, you know, getting money is not condemned. But there should be a regulation on it. You get money, whatever you need to maintain your body and soul together. That is the purpose of getting money, earning money. But in the modern civilization, just unnecessarily accumulating money is happening. And Prabhupada also many times says that all the currency that we use, people just are in the illusion that I have so much money, I have so much money. What is that money? This is paper only, paper currency. That's of no use. Okay, when some drought comes, right, you need whatever, 10 kgs rice to maintain your family. And there is no rice outside. And you have, you know, $10 million in your locker. What is the use of that kind of paper? So the exchange should be between valuable goods. That also Prabhupada mentions. So in the Vedic society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, all can be happy. Okay? Brahmanas, they have no material desires. Then Kshatriyas, they have to rule the people, and it was necessary for them to have money and prestige. Vaishyas, they are satisfied with agriculture and then co-protection. Then if they have some excess, trade was allowed. Then Sudras were also happy. They would get food and shelter from the higher three classes. So that's how the Varnashram system, the Vedic civilization is quite good. But modern demoniac civilization is just centered around accumulating more and more money unnecessarily. According to Vedic civilization, the ultimate perfection of life is to take to sannyas. But this is misunderstood by modern people. They think that one accepts sannyas to escape social responsibilities. So Brahmana, Vaisya, Kshatriya, Sudra, then Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Grahastha, Sannyasi. So this is the general format of a cultured civilization. But in the modern civilization, this important element of being sannyasa, which is the highest of the Chaturvarnya system, that is considered escapism. Sannyasa does not mean begging from door to door to accumulate money for sense gratification, but it is to preach Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada quotes NOI. Okay, what will be, how devotional service will be spoiled. So, and then sannyasi should have a proper institution to preach Krishna consciousness. So, he should not accumulate money for himself, right? It's like atyahara, we should not do. He should not accumulate money for himself, but he can accumulate money to preach Krishna consciousness, to maintain an institution that can spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the money will only be source of illusion. Soka, moha, bhaya, krodha, raga, klaibya. So this is the source. Now, 35th verse, our Avadhut Brahman, he gives examples. Who are his spiritual masters? His spiritual masters are Madhukara, means bee that goes from flower to flower and collects honey, which is sweeter, which is like money. Madhukara mohaspar, Madhukara mahaspar sarpau, lokesminno guruttamau, vairagyam paritoshamcha, prapta yachikshaya vayam. So he has two gurus. Madhukara is a bee that collects honey from our flowers. Then Mahasarpa, it's a python. It does ajagravutri. He stays in one place and then takes whatever that comes of its own accord. So he explains, how are they my gurus? One, bee. Viraga sarva kamebhya, shikshito me madhuvratat, krichraptam madhuvadvittam, hatvapi anyo haretpatim. So from a bumblebee, what he has learned? Viragah, detachment. Viragah sarva kamebhyah, detachment from all material desires. He has learned from madhu. Shikshito me madhuvratat. What is that? Krichraptam madhuvadvittam. Krichra means difficulty. Okay, krichraptam means you have acquired something with so much difficulty. Krichraptam madhuvat vittam. Madhu is honey, vittam is money. So money you accumulate with so much difficulty, just like honeybee accumulates honey with so much difficulty. Right? Hatvapyanyo haretpatim, and other fellows will just come and then steal that away from the owner. So madhupati is honeybee. So this, what is it? Vittampati, vittapati may be a wealthy man. So from madhupati, whatever honey he has accumulated is just stolen away. So bumblebee just collects from honey from everywhere and then puts in beehive. Somebody chases away the bees and then puts some fire there and then take all the honey. So that is the destiny of honeybee. So similarly, wealthy person also is like that. So by seeing this example, I have learnt a lesson that I should not accumulate anything. That's what he says. So one should own as much as he immediately needs. There is no need to keep a big balance at hand, all along with a fear that it may be plundered by governments or thieves. Second guru is Python. Aniha paritushtatma yadruchopanatat aham nochechaye bahvahani mahahir ivasattavan. Yes, so I do not endeavor to get anything, but I am satisfied with whatever is achieved in its own way. Right? Idrichaya. So whatever comes on its own way, I will accept. If I do not get anything, I am patient and unagitated, like a python, and lie down in this way for many days. Right? He is not agitated if he is not getting anything. So these are the things. So python is satisfied by staying at one place. So he is also satisfied by staying at one place and then taking whatever comes on its own accord. He has no desires to accumulate more. Problem is a dil mange more. That is the problem. But his dil will not ask for anything more. Whatever comes, I am happy. Nothing comes, I am not agitated. Kvachit alpam kvachit bhuri. Bhungyen bhunjenam svat asadvava kvachit bhuri gunayopayetam gunahinam utakvachit sraddhayopahritam kvapi kadachin manavarjitam bhunje bhunkvartha kamimschid divanaktam yadruchhaya. He says, kvachit alpam, kvachit bhuri. Sometimes I eat less, sometimes I eat more. Sometimes I eat palatable food, sometimes I eat stale food. Sometimes I eat prasad, and sometimes I eat food which is given neglectfully. Right? Sometimes I eat during the day, sometimes at night. So thus I eat whatever is available. So now, some of these things, I eat palatable dishes, all these things he says. He is referring not only to this life, he is referring to his previous lives. In this life, what he must have eaten. Right? So, the series of verses that they are referring to the earlier lives. Kshaumam dukkham, kshaumam dukulam ajinam, chiram valkalam evava, vasenyad api sampraptam, dishtabhuktushtadhir aham. To cover my body, I use whatever is available, whether it be linen, silk, cotton, bark, deer skin, according to my destiny, and I am fully satisfied and unagitated. Satin, georgette, there are different kinds of cloths we buy for turban of the deities. So he is just mentioning few of them. Linen, silk, cotton, all this. Shaumam dukulam ajinam chiram valkalam evava. He is satisfied with whatever comes. So this verse also comes in second canto when Sukadeva Goswami says, what is it? Chira and kimpatana santi. Right? Are there not tree bark available? We can't you take use? Then kvachit kvachichaye dharos dharopasthe
తృణపర్ణాస్మభస్మసు క్వచిత్ ప్రసాద పర్యంకే కశిపో వా పరేచ్ఛయ. Sometimes I lie on the surface of earth, sometimes on leaves, grass, stone, piles of ashes, okay, will of others, by the will of the others, in a palace on first class bed with pillows. So he is referring to previous lives where he might have been a king. Then kvachit snato nu liptanga swasah sragvalankrita రథే భాస్వై చరే క్వాపి దిగ్వాసాగ్రహవద్ విభో. సమ్టైమ్స్ ఐ బేద్ మై సెల్ఫ్ వెరీ నైస్లీ, స్మియర్ శాండిల్వుడ్ పల్ప్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ మై బాడీ, చందన్ యాత్ర ఫర్ హిమ్, పుట్ ఆన్ ఎ ఫ్లవర్ గార్లెండ్ అండ్ డ్రెస్ ఇన్ ఫైర్ గార్మెంట్స్ అండ్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్. దెన్ ఐ ట్రావెల్ లైక్ ఎ కింగ్ ఆన్ ద బ్యాక్ ఆఫ్ ఎన్ ఎలిఫెంట్ ఆర్ ఎ చారియట్ ఆర్ హార్స్. సమ్టైమ్స్ హౌ ఎవర్ ఐ ట్రావెల్ నేకెడ్ like a person haunted by ghost. Avadhut naham ninde janastaumi swabhava visamam janam etesham shreya aashase utaikatmyam mahatmani. This is a very important verse, okay, very nice lesson this verse is giving. Someone read.
My business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
So it's not my business. Naham nindeche nastomi. I don't have to offer any galis to someone or material glorification of someone. Naham nindeche nastomi. Swabhava vishaman janam. Because people are just acting according to their natures. Etesham shreya aashishe utaikatmyam mahatmani. So I only desire for their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, Krishna. So very nice attitude which has to be cultivated, okay, while dealing with other devotees or other people in this world. So I don't offer any material praises. Spiritually, for somebody who has done some service, you are appreciating a devotee for the service he has rendered. That is all right. He is not referring to appreciating a devotee for the devotional service he has done. So I don't want to offer any material praise, or I don't want to blaspheme someone. Okay, because they are just acting according to their own natures. They are controlled by nature. Now, what is the focus of a saintly person? It is not to discriminate between that which is supposedly good or supposedly bad. What is supposedly good? If you do some good activity on a material platform, that may be considered good. But by doing that good activity, you may go to heavenly planets. Is that good? Not good. So the so-called good activity in this material world is also bad. And bad activity is anyways bad. You will be degrading only. So the so-called good or bad activity, a devotee will not focus on them. What he will focus? He desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Vikalpam juhuyat chittau tam manasyartha vibhrame manovaikarike hutva tammayayam juhotyanu. So the mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. So 42 verse is describing false discrimination, but 43rd verse is describing that it is all because of one's mind, and that is because of false ego. Okay? So the root reason is false ego. So you have to merge this good and bad discrimination into the mind, and that merge into the false ego, and merge this false ego into this total material energy. Means basically give up your false ego. Right? That is the way I understood this. Prabhuji, any explanation on this is? So, there are jnanis and hatha yogis. They can gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying this material discrimination on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego, by which he thinks, I am this body, a product of matter. So one must merge this false ego into total material energy and merge this total material energy into the supreme energetic. Basically, give up your false ego and surrender into Krishna. So from Krishna is coming the material nature, false ego, then mind and other things, the second canto chart that we had learnt, right? So now it's coming, all the material discrimination is happening. So now the discrimination, you just merge into the mind and false ego and then into the supreme and then surrender unto him.
Atmanubhutau tam mayam juhuyat satya drin muni tato niriho viramet svanubhutyatmanisthita.
So a learned thoughtful person must realize that the material existence is illusion. This is possible only by self-realization. So this illusion, he is not referring to Brahma, Satya and Jagan Mithya. Understand the temporary nature of this world. That is the Vaishnava understanding. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities and being situated in self-realization. So how a self-realized soul understands the difference between body and soul nicely is explained in the purport. There are two birds, two kshetrajnas. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetresu bharata. So in this body, there is a soul and there is super soul also. Both are called kshetrajnas. They are proprietors of this body. But one soul, one bird is enjoying the fruits of the activities of this body. Other bird is just overseeing. Okay. So Prabhupada nicely says that when the bird, soul bird, surrenders to the lotus feet of the supreme bird, then he will not be, he need not stay in this body only. Like that.
Svatma vrittim mayetham te suguptam apivarnitam vyapetam loka shastrabhyam bhavan hi bhagavat parah.
Prahlad Maharaj, you are certainly a self-realized soul and a devotee of the Supreme Lord. You are Bhagavat Paraha. You do not care for public opinion or so-called scriptures. For this reason, I have described to you without hesitation the history of my self-realization. So, an advanced devotee will not care about public opinion or Vedic or philosophical literatures. So, this is a very highly advanced stage. Not caring public opinion means it's not that his job profile of advanced devotee is not just not caring about public opinion. That is one of the things that he does. He is so absorbed in Krishna that he ignores any kind of public opinion. He is in ecstasy chanting and dancing on the road. Others may see at him and laugh at him. He doesn't care. He continues to chant. You can understand this at that level. So not caring about public opinion, this statement can be misused also. We have to take care of public opinions. We have to behave in certain ways that are acceptable by the public. Some norms we cannot, some protocols we cannot compromise. The previous chapter we have seen Narasimhadev personally suggesting Prahlad Maharaj to do final rites for Hiranyakashipu. Because Yadidacharya is Shrestha, Tatta Deve Tarodhanaha. So this statement need to be applied in a very matured and balanced way. So one should be conscious of social customs. One should not be oblivious to the social customs completely. Right? Now, Narada Muni is concluding.
Dharmam paramahamsyam vai mune srutva sureshvara pujayitva tatah pritva Prita Amantriya Prayayau Griham.
After Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard this instruction from the saint. He
So Prahlad Maharaj heard all this from this Avadhut Brahman and he left home. So Prahlad Maharaj was a Paramahamsa. It's mentioned here. Although he's a Grihastha, family man, the two king of demons, still he's a Paramahamsa because he's a devotee. Now he's not child, he's a king. When we are in 7.13, not 7.10. Yeah, Paramahamsa, correct. He became Paramahamsa at age of 5 only. Then Prahlad Maharaj was one of the Paramahamsas, one of the 12 Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhur, Kumara, Kapilomanam. So the conclusion is that Paramahamsa is an exalted devotee. Such a Paramahamsa may be in any stage of life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and be equally liberated and exalted. Rathara Srimad Bhagavatam Ghi, Srila Prabhupada Ghi. So when Prabhuji comes back, we can hear something from Rasham Prabhu before we conclude. And all of you stay back. We'll have some discussion. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Hey, Krishna. Prabhuji, as you were saying that sometimes we also say this example that whatever study you have made in the material world, PhD example you are giving, will not be used in the next life. So likewise, somebody may say that similarly, somebody may ask this question that similarly you all are reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but if you don't perfect in this life, next lifetime when you take birth, you have to again revise, you have to again memorize all the shlokas. So that is also lost only. Somebody may say like that. Then what would be the immediate answer to this?
Shastra says, Neha Vikramana Sausti Pratyavayana Vidyate. So that's one way of answering. Second, by practical experience also, we have seen many devotees take up to Krishna consciousness in very unnatural ways. For somebody who is living in the Western world, who has absolutely no connection with Krishna, he has never heard a name Krishna in his life, whatever, till he met a devotee. So that person is immediately taking up to Krishna consciousness and then he's so fired up and then he becomes a good devotee, okay, ideal grihastha, a good brahmacharya, eventually takes sannyas or whatever. So that is happening. We can understand that they must have done some devotional service in the past also. Then we can always quote this Bhagavad Gita verse, right, Neha Vikramana Sasti, and Prabhupada statements. So that is one way. Second, as Prabhupada gives this argument, even if you have not perfected this life, perfected devotional service in this life, what is the use? You have at least lived a nice life, chanting, dancing, feasting, etc. Then another point which I also mentioned here is, even if somebody carries forward his PhD or whatever knowledge, still ultimately it is a knowledge about material science only. It is entangling only. Right? So this could be some arguments. Prabhuji, again.
Hare Krishna. So one point I remember Prabhuji was making about how in the material world the deer example was given, the deer example. So the deer is unable to see the water below the grass, but if it just moves the grass a little aside, then it will see the water. But unable to see the water, the deer is running around the jungle, and out of thirst he dies. So in that purpose says, our grass body is like the grass, he says. So beneath the grass body is the soul, inside the subtle body. So when a person does not pay attention to the soul or self-realization, then he goes out in the material world to chase after the money, chase after women, and chase after so many things, and dies pitiably like the deer. That's the example actually. And another interesting point, Prabhupada says there, that the grass grows from the water only. Similarly, the grass body has grown from the presence of soul only. So this grass body is somewhat like a mental structure, Prabhupada says. In coming back, I was reading this statement. He says this body, grass body, is somewhat like a mental structure because it's not it's a constantly changing phenomenon. So one should not take this grass body too seriously, but one should remain oneself in the identity of the soul, and then one's relationship with Krishna will be gradually regained. That is one point. And because we are in ignorance, many times we make wrong choices in life. Like I was coming in the train, one farmer with a big turban and old man, you know, he purchased a big Pepsi bottle, you know, this much size. A Pepsi bottle, chill Pepsi bottle. And he's feeding it to a small baby. You know, he opened the bottle and he's telling, summer is very hot, you know, he wanted to feed the baby. So I was telling him, my Lord, you know, inside the Pepsi bottle, they put a tooth and the whole tooth melts in 1 week, people say. It is very dangerous. Because he was thinking, I am going to feed this child this chill Pepsi and I'll make the child happy. Because in summer season it is so hot, you know, you think if I drink something chill, it will be helpful. But actually drinking such chill water from the fridge or drinking chill Pepsi, does it aggravate the situation or does it make it better? What do you think? Yeah, it aggravates the situation. So material pressure is exactly like that. Material pressure, generally we think if I get that, I'll be happy. But that very same thing becomes a source of more trouble. Dushpurena analenacha, he says like that. Similarly, this two things mentioned, money and opposite sex attraction. This is repeatedly Bhagavatam talks about this too. You know, kamasyana indriya pritir labho jivete yavata. These two things only. The desire should not be engaged in sense gratification, and one should accumulate wealth only as much as is needed for one's survival. So that is why you will find nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. So initially one wants dhanam, and when that dhanam comes, one becomes aristocratic, then one is surrounded by many relatives and followers and everybody like that. And when there is abundant money and prestige, then one wants to misuse it by company with opposite sex, becoming familiar with opposite sex. So, but all these three are dangerous. And when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj came to Calcutta, so he was telling, this shloka, I give it as a gift to your Calcutta temple. This is your, like one word he said, this is like your, you know, your true north shloka. True north means, you know, like a compass. Wherever you move the compass, it goes like this. So he said, you should make this like your true north, like that he was telling. So when we become sadhus, when we are joining, we will be very simple sadhus. But as we proceed, the Tarangarangini brings forth a lot of facilities and commodities and everything. So at a very top level also, then one may purchase land in one's own name, one may build a house, you know, in one's name. Even many monks have done it. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the planet, two of his most prominent disciples, and they were fighting. One was Kunjabihari and one was Ananta Vasudeva. Ananta Vasudeva. So Ananta Vasudeva was a very great scholar, top amongst all the Sanskrit scholars, and very popular for his lectures and all. And Kunjabihari was very famous for the management as well as the property handling. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the planet, so these two personalities had a big terrible fight. One was holding the property and another one was popular amongst the people. Now who will become the Matadipati like that? So we can see that even within the religious circles, the properties, the money, the prestige, you know, attraction for the opposite sex, so these are all very great stumbling blocks. Prabhupada says in one of his purports, becoming weak-hearted in the presence of opposite sex and in the presence of money for a conditioned soul is not at all surprising, he says. One can become weakened by this kind of these things. So generally the acquiring money and possessing money makes one very weak. How? Because our dependence on Krishna reduces. That's why Prabhupada says you collect money and you spend money. Don't hoard money. Prabhupada told that in Germany and they didn't hear Prabhupada. Prabhupada was, but they secretly planned that, you know, we will accumulate a lot of money and we will put Prabhupada into pleasant surprise. Prabhupada, we have accumulated so much and we have saved. But then suddenly one day the government came to know that the Hare Krishnas are accumulating a lot of money. So they attacked the ISKCON temple and took away all the money. Then they told Prabhupada, the government has taken. The government became very worried about the Deutsche Mark which is going to the ISKCON. They thought that these people will take over whole country and things like that. Because when you have money, you have power also. People fear that you will take over and all that. Papa said, just see, I told you, you collect little and spend little. Collect more and spend. And Prabhupada said, you can collect lakhs and crores also, provided you have the power to spend also. But you should not store and keep so that you can have a very comfortable, luxurious lifestyle. And that is not ISKCON stands for. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is a missionary movement. We should remain like beggars. And opulence for Krishna, poverty for oneself. That should be the principle. In the same manner as he says about the attraction for the man and woman relationship, and he completely refrained from it. That is also a very important point. Because in our movement, Prabhupada says, we are unable to avoid the man-woman meeting, especially in the West, Prabhupada says. But especially one who is a renunciate, has to realize the dangers of close association with opposite sex. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances from a great distance when wives of the Vaishnavas were offering him obeisances. He would not let anyone come near also. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was only one time he joked, you know, with his wife and mother. The Prabhupada writes in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is the joke he did? Maybe your daughter-in-law must have taken, like that he said. That's the only joke he did with woman. So, brahmacharis and sannyasis, they are not supposed to become familiar with woman. If you become very familiar, actually there is some kind of joy that comes to be familiar with woman. Imagine a phone call comes for you from a woman, and then she's asking something. Prabhuji, somebody, other devotees are asking you, Prabhuji, where is the call from? She's calling me, you know, she's always, you know, demanding me this and that. So one may feel that I am popular amongst women. But this is certainly not for those in the renounced order. We are not playboys. If we try to become playboys, then Maya will play with us. By kicking us left, right, center. So, sadhus have to maintain the sanctity and purity and not contaminate their minds by close association with opposite sex. One last point about the different living entities are of different mentalities, which he says here. My spiritual master personally told me in one occasion that as you become a very senior devotee, he said it is very crucial for your spiritual advancement not to become overly attentive to the trivial problems in the conditioned souls. You know, the conditioned souls may have some trivial weaknesses and shortcomings. You can make some arrangement to clean up their problems, but you cannot afford to get too close to modifying their behavior. Because all the jivas in this world have four defects, you know. And because of that, you will find they commit mistakes, they commit blunders. Now somebody keeps money here and there, they lose the money. Now somebody slips from the pure standards and they succumb to some weaknesses and temptations. So somebody is lazy, somebody is crazy. Actually, even within our movement, we have all types of devotees exhibiting many, many shortcomings in their conditioned stage before they become pure. And he was telling that, yes, we can have some managers to sort out these things and all. But if you are growing more and more in seniority and everything, we have to become more fatherly and we have to be watchful to bring about the positive change. At the same time, we should not become personally too affected by their problems. Because we cannot change everyone overnight, and nor can we inflict or force the change in them very aggressively. We cannot do that. And the reason he said was, if we overly are concerned about the shortcomings of the other living entities, we will become, our mind will become filled with fault-finding tendency and also hatred for the living entities, which may lead to blasphemy and criticisms and things like that. It is as dangerous as somebody becoming attached. Attachment and aversion, raga and dvesha, these two are considered two great enemies in the path of spiritual life. You know? So after I heard him say this, when I went to Pune, one Iyengar who had passed away, you know, but at that time he had published a book called as Core Yoga, you know. So Maharaj wanted a copy of that book, so I went and got a copy. So in that book I found one amazing truth. So he says there, in the section of Ishwara Pranidhani, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, he says that as the yogi advances yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, pratyahar, then when he comes to the dharana stage, he says, dharana is the first stage of meditation, after which comes dhyana and samadhi, you know. So dharana means 12 seconds you can chant the holy name with attention. And dharana, dhyana means 12 into 12, 144 seconds. And samadhi means 12 into 12 into 12, it is 25 minutes, 28 seconds, you can have full concentration. So he says in his book, if you want concentration in your meditation, there he says, in this particular stage when one comes, the yogi has to be very careful not to fall prey to the hatred that arises by seeing the deficiencies in the conditioned souls, he says. When you see the deficiencies in other conditioned souls who are not up to the mark, he says that we are likely to develop hatred for them. And if a yogi foolishly develops hatred, he cannot go ahead. His progress is checked from dharana and dhyana and samadhi. So at this particular point of time, a yogi should cultivate forgiveness in his mind, he says. And by the principle of forgiveness, and also he says he should not open his eyes too much in seeing the faults of other living entities. Wherever he finds fault, he has to close his eyes slightly and keep it only slightly open. So he should not see too much faults in other living entities, like that he says. So in this way he says our... that section was also very appealing to me because he says the same thing. You know, different living entities are of different mentalities, don't chase after them, you know, leave them. And then they will... But in case you are a manager, you are an organizer, it's very challenging because you have to bring about, just like Prabhuji has to collect all the test papers from everybody and submit. Somebody is giving test papers, somebody is not giving. So it's a very great challenge to maintain a cool head, especially when you see all living entities are not aligning with Prabhupada's mission and everything. So here he is saying that, of course, he is Avadhut Brahman, he can lie down under a tree. He's not a manager of anybody. He's a sannyasi. But Maharaj was telling that if somebody is in a sannyasi's role, they can inspire some managers how to manage with politeness and firmness together. There has to be politeness and firmness. If there is only firmness, it will lead to hatred. If there is only politeness, it will lead to sentimental attachments. You may forgive, forgive, forgive. So manager requires politeness and firmness together. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji had one question.
Prabhuji, sometimes somebody may ask us a question that as we were also hearing Prabhuji was saying about how material education is useless, it doesn't help us in the next life. We have to again start from ABCD. Like that, some shastric books that we may read, memorize, slokas and all, that also is lost. We have to again restart that also in the next life.
Example. Prag Janmani Anushikshitam. Actually, the spiritual maturity that comes in one lifetime is never lost. It is carried. Just like, for example, some boys, teenage boys, they never smoke a cigarette. Because in the Purva Janam, they have got sufficient kicks by smoking. Now they will not smoke. If they are Punya, Punyavan, they will not do it. Similarly, he is saying, Prag Janmani Anushikshitam. He says. So the spiritual knowledge actually goes life after life, the spiritual maturity. Even Bharat Maharaj, when he became deer and then he became Jada Bharat. You know, that spiritual wisdom, what he gathered in the Purvajan remained with him. Whereas the material education, Prabhupada says in one purport, even material knowledge may remain also. Prabhupada says in one purport, to some degree, the mental impression, they may remain also sometimes, he says. But the degree cannot be carried in the next life. Like you have IIT degree now, you can't carry IIT degree to the next life. You have to start from life. Correct. He knew the details about the plane and everything. Correct. Because that is there in the mental script. Yeah. But, no child remembers the doctorate knowledge, you know. But Prabhupada also says, like Einstein and other people who are very smart in childhood also, that is because of the punya. Lord specially gives them intelligence to, possess, such knowledge which even very learned people don't possess, like Ramanujam and all that. Based on what you deserve and what you desire, both. Not only what you desire, also what you.
Lord enters in the heart. So, is Lord, there are two personalities come inside, or the Paramatma has expanded him, means his other feature as a Bhagavan feature, he comes up? The same person. This is my question. The Paramatma is within heart. So as soon as one becomes devotee, so Lord enters, as I think you mentioned. So is that personality, that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, that personality becomes, he exhibits the Bhagavan qualities, or some other person?
What difference does it make?
So
he is Bhagavan.
So because as a, in conditions, it will not feel like, will not say that there is some, there is no help from inside. Otherwise, we'll feel. Because he's a Paramatma Upadrashta, he will just, see and, note down only. But if we see, there is a person who's helping us, there is a personality who will help us. So anytime he can help. So there is a, there is a safe, good feeling, we are not alone. There's someone who will help.
Paramatma can help you even in your sadhaka states also. Right. Basically, he is responding to the desire of the living entity. If your desire is to advance in devotional service, he will also help. So, Acharya has given an explanation that Bhagavan Vishadehriti means, if someone is so much dedicating his life to the activities of hearing, then Krishna will personally enter in his capacity as Bhagavan. So, two persons are Bhagavan and Super Soul are saying, they can be both, they are same. They are same. The capacity in which they act, is different. But they are the same personality. Super Soul and Krishna are one and the same. But Krishna in our heart acts in the capacity of Super Soul. And in the other case, Krishna in our heart acts in the capacity as Bhagavan. It doesn't make much difference. Rudy, you can please...
Actually, Bahir Narsimha, Kridhiya Narsimha. Prahlad sees the Paramatma as Narsimha. Similarly, somebody is a Vishnu devotee, he will see him as Vishnu. Somebody is a Krishna devotee, he says, what is that verse? Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. And in that verse, he says, that inside the heart, Yam Shamasundaram. So he is seeing the Shamasundar inside the heart, which means every devotee will see the Advaya Lord, who is non-different from one another, as Shyam Sundar, as Vishnu, and Narsimha, or Super Soul, they are the one person only who appears in the heart of the devotee as per the desire of the devotee. But in general, when a person has not yet become a devotee, for him the Lord has expanded as Super Soul, who is called as a partial expansion in everywhere. But as soon as you become a devotee, then he is no more a partial expansion, then the Lord starts behaving as non-different Supreme Lord. Yeah. That was, what is that? Tvambhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja asse surekshita pato nannata pamsam yadyad yata urubhava vivavayanti urugaya uvavayanti tat 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 vapu pranaya se
sadanukraha.
The last two lines they say. Thank you.
Earlier when we were in Chopati, we were so attached to Gopinath. Right? Now also we are attached to Gopinath, but last 1 year we are serving Vrindavan Vihari. There is a special inclination and same person. Yes, sir. Yeah, black, white. So next week, Monday and Tuesday, Radhika Vallabhru will come and complete the 7th canto. Then Wednesday, we will have the overview class. Then Thursday, Friday, we'll have 7th canto, grand test, open book exam. So next, after Wednesday's class, 3 days we'll just go like that in open book exam and grand test. So after completion of 7th canto, the next class could be on the coming week's Tuesday or something like that. So, and the next batch is coming, 4th batch, your juniors. So May 1st they will arrive. Maybe May 4th happens to be Monday, so we can have the first class for them on Monday. So May 1st the batch will arrive, 1st or 2nd, because that happens to be the weekend. So 3rd is Narsingh Chaturdasi, so 4th we could have the first class tentatively. That's the plan. 2 years. Yes, please. Thank you. Just a couple of announcements. We are having around 14 to 15 devotees in the next batch. No. Switch it off. So next